Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, it's Labor Day. It's Chris and Giovanni. And our first one involves me going to the aquarium. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. Warning, there's a new phishing scam. They masquerade as a billing error. And you get this alert from Netflix, or you think it's from Netflix. And it's pushing victims to update their payment details within 24 hours or their subscription will be voided. And since everyone is so hooked on Netflix, they do it. And then they get your information. The link even redirects to a very real-looking CAPTCHA form. So these guys are getting sophisticated, people. Need to protect yourself. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Every day, we put our info at risk on the internet. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If you become a victim of identity theft, you have access to a dedicated restoration specialist. It's LifeLock. Right, Dawson?
Known to prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, LifeLock can see threats you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam for 25% off.
Hi, and welcome back to Corolla Classics for Labor Day, September 7th, 2020. This is the show. We're going to play you some classic clips over the history of The Adam Carolla Show. My name's Chris Loxamana, executive producer of The Adam Carolla Show. And with me, as always, Carolla archivist, super fan Giovanni.
Hey, everybody. We got the day off for everybody at the studio, but we're still working, and we got a really funny episode for you.
We totally do, and let's start it off with some vacation talk. Back in 2016, Adam did his annual trip to Monterey, but this time he started bringing Sonny to the trips. And he and Sonny went to the very famous Monterey Aquarium.
It's a great story of Adam and a trip with one of his kids. It's Adam Carolla Show 1824. Josh Todd of Buckcherry is the guest. The bride's very excited for that. This is just the opening of the show without Josh. It's Gina and Brian and Adam talking about his trip to the aquarium and how they're getting a little preachy at the aquariums. Check it out.
Grad on news involves Brian on sound effects, plus a review of Don't Think Twice in Hooray for Baldywood. And now, this joke is out of date. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Oh, do I have a tale of two cities when it as it pertains to cars. I will, I don't even know what that means, but I will tell you that I will give you, you will have difficulty finding a chasm when I tell you a car story. You'll, a larger chasm than the picture I shall paint for you.
Ooh, let's hear it.
Momentarily. First, good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
You have to use so many cuss words.
In honor of Buckcherry. I like Buckcherry.
I like Buckcherry too. Josh Todd's going to be in here from Buckcherry
and
a couple of few. So a few things left over from the big road trip weekend. Just can't get to it all in one day. First off, I don't know if you guys are with me, but we went to the Monterey Bay Aquarium, the world renowned Monterey Bay Aquarium, which is awesome. But if I don't know if you're noticing, but almost every place is getting a little preachy about where your motor oil goes and about what happens to the dolphins when you put the plastic bottles. And I get it. That's the place. But not every 20 feet, because I'm starting to get bummed out about
you got
Flipper.
The message.
I'm saying, like, we're doing this new thing where everyone gets to put on the hero cape
right. That's
made of cellophane, but it's a hero cape, and we get to work it into, I blame the Academy, because they, ever since people got away from thanking the Academy and thanking
their
agent and starting to do a half a stump speech about the indigenous people, the rainforest, or whatever it is, people said, well, if you can go ahead and preach up there, then why can't I do a little preaching over here? And if you start noticing, businesses, supermarkets, things like that, getting, well, could you give, could you, you know, you go to the supermarket when you're checking out, you got to help the kids from wherever, you have to help the indigenous, you have
what,
to do
I
whatever.
Complain about charity edition?
Well, I go, first off, hey, it's $50 or more to get into this aquarium. Like, it's not a cheap ticket.
I know.
And then you go in there and you want to, literally, here's what you're there to do. Sort of pull yourself away from the world, the concrete and asphalt world that you know, and pull yourself into this sort of tranquil undersea.
Wonder.
It's dark, like, for a reason. It's very dark in those aquariums, and the beautiful aquariums are lit up, but you walk through these sort of dark passages, hallways, and you sit there and you just kind of look at the fish and you get kind of pulled away.
Yeah, it's the majority of the world is ocean. So you're like,
majesty.
Oh, we are quite small.
Yeah. And then, but then you get up and you see a dolphin or sea turtle that's eaten a six-pack container, you know, plastic rings.
When you didn't
and,
cut the rings.
And you're right back to it. Like, you're right back to, we suck. This is horrible. This is horrible. And then they're showing pictures
destroying
of
Mother
big
Earth.
Things. And they're showing motor oil going down the drain and all that. And it's like, let me just say this. Take that. Go out to parts of Sylmar and Sun Valley and preach until your goddamn face turns blue. Don't go to Monterey to the aquarium to Whitey's, paid $50 to get in there. We ain't changing the Lexus oil over the storm drain. We're not. You don't see many the housewives from Encino pulling the Lexus family truckster up on the curb and lean the one side on the street so they can drain, pull the plug on the pan of their oil so that it just goes straight down into the bay. That's not. They do that at the dealer. Like, they drop the Lexus off at the dealer. So the people you're preaching to here are already well into conservation, recycling, not dumping. Literally, there's a picture of a thing of motor oil, and it's being spilled down a sewage drain. Nobody who spends $50 on one of those tickets then goes out, pops the plug on their drain pan, and dumps it into the bay.
The messaging could be,
nobody. We're already here. We're already here. The kids have already been indoctrinated. Everyone's all part of the movement.
You've chosen to go into the world's, or at least the country's, premier aquarium.
Yeah, you're not the ones.
We are not the ones. It's right up there. I, in terms of people draining their oil, now it's a sadly more of a SoCal thing probably than many other parts of the nation, but any part where there's poor people and it cost you something to take your oil into the, have it properly disposed. Well, it's the same thing with the old sofas, box springs, and mattresses you see across the alley next to the freeway and all the building materials that have been demoed. You take some poor Mexican guy, he demos out a stucco wall, you explain to him it's going to cost him $75 to properly dispose of it, and he just drives down the alley on a Sunday night at 1 a.m. and just dumps it out onto the dirt. That's why L.A. is covered with old sofas, because they don't, the county won't come pick it up.
Right.
So if you could take your old sofa and put it down at the curb and the garbage man would pick it up, then they would do it. Or if the dump didn't charge you, then they would take it to the dump. But they don't, so they do. I believe, Gary, they charge for this bringing of motor oil, but we'll have to figure it out. Either way, if they made
it, when I stick my heart like Jiffy Lube or whatever, they'd charge a fee. You know what I mean? Oil disposal
fee. So
small
fee. If the stupid county would put their money where their mouth is, like, if they really want to get rid of this state of California, then don't charge people or make it easy or have a motor oil pickup third Sunday of every month where the guy will get out of the truck and pick it up for you, and then no one would dump it down the oil, down the drain. But you're forcing poor people to do things you don't want them to do because poor people are poor and they don't have the money to spend or are unwilling to spend the money on this. But none of those people have ever been in an aquarium.
You're probably right, especially in Monterey.
It appears that in California, at least, you can, unless you're a business that has a large amount, any normal citizen can dispose of it for free.
Hold on.
Aha! Yes, but still.
No, it was funny because we were watching, at some point, we were watching, like, the local news. And, but still, they're not going to, well, first off, the word is not out, then, evidently. Like, hey, poor people, you can do this.
Oh. Hold up. Sorry. Breaking. This is a program where California passed it on to the oil manufacturers. It's specific to California. And there is still a fee, but it's passed on to the oil manufacturers.
That sounds like us. But either way.
Someone's paying.
Unlike click it or ticket, the word is not out.
Yes.
And thus, it goes down the storm drain. But thus, no one who goes in the Monterey Aquarium even changes their own oil, much less does it in that way, and or throws the bottles into the bay,
right,
or does any of that. So you're annoying people that have already been converted.
Mm-hmm. You're preaching to the bummed out choir.
And bumming us out. Right. And every Max Pat, there were seven displays on what we need to do with our empty bottles.
One
right?
of them was like, stop wailing.
I wanted me to stop wailing. I'll never stop. Oh, that kind of wailing. Yeah. I wanted me to end the wailing. Like, I was like, you know what? Put the harpoon in mothballs. I've done some soul searching. I went to the bathroom and stared into the mirror that was shaped like an otter, and I did some soul searching.
But, boss, you love this harpoon.
I went to the aquarium.
Oh.
They say, first off, my best wailing days are behind me.
Well, they don't know you, obviously.
I've lost my touch.
Oh,
yes, no more wailing. Is there a human being? Is there one human being that ever walked through that aquarium that is any way associated with the wailing industry?
There's no way.
Okay, you tell me, bigger waste of time. Going into the Salt Lake City airport and seeing a big picture of a rhinoceros saying, I am not medicine. Or stop the wailing campaign that goes on at the Monterey Bay. Everyone's just beating off into a giant ceiling fan and feeling awesome. But that's all it is. I know what it is. It's not, we need to stop wailing. If you want to stop wailing, good. Go to Japan and go try to stop some wailing and get harpooned. Mm. Preaching to us is not going to do it. But wait a minute. You get to be a hero. And then you get to sleep at night.
Maybe it's a recruiting thing for, like, Greenpeace. In that case, they're probably targeting the right audience.
There is no anything. There's no call to action. There's no anything.
It's just a statement.
It's just stop wailing. It's just the way we're supposed to stop hunting rhino in Salt Lake.
It's a big problem in Salt Lake.
Look, you got nothing. Put missing kids. Or how about this? I spent $50. How about you let me and my kid just walk through and look at a grouper and not have to think about this horrible industry called whaling?
Did they do this where they have this at a lot of zoos? I don't know if they had this at the aquarium, where they show the chain of predators. And at the very top, it says, man, the worst predator, and it's a mirror. And you're standing in
a mirror. Now wow. They have Donald Trump up there.
Really make you think.
It's the picture of the Donald.
They had that at the zoo.
Oh, God. It's just let us pay. And again, don't punish us. We're giving you money, and we're exploring nature. We don't need the preaching, too. Anyway, so we're walking through the, I can't even remember now. Oh, okay. Here's what I love. It gets preachy. We went to the penguin exhibit. I said, what is it, like 19 penguins there? It's the other pet peeve I have. Went and looked at the penguins.
That is a flock of penguins.
There was like
it's eight, a pride
18,
pride.
19 penguins. Just give me the names.
Named them?
I had poor Chris Maxipat. I had to go print. I had to go tell them to start taking pictures. I want names. So I see Amigo, and then I see Durban. I think Durban's a city in South Africa or something. We gotta look it up. Dassin.
Dasher.
Karoo.
Now, hold on. Chris and I are having a baby in a few weeks, so slow down. We're going to consider some of these.
O-Lone or whatever.
That's a backup choice.
Pringle.
Pringle!
Sabe. And I'm like, not one Mike, Steve, or Tim in the batch. Like, one good, solid dude.
Keep going.
Name.
All right.
So here's the thing. Umgain.
Middle name.
Walvis.
More of a nickname.
Walvis!
There's not one Todd in the entire mix. Well, and by the way, one Rick. Could argue that when you're reading, they have little name tags on there, but it's hard. See, you can see Alan from a distance and not see the whole name and still know it's Alan, right. But I don't know what you do with Walvis, because unless we're clearly reading Walvis, we're not going to know. We're going to think it's Walter or something like that. Yeah. All right.
Keep going.
There,
Karoo.
Geyser, Messina, Malopo,
the Molotov dance.
Anyway, I can't pronounce them. The point is, what country are we in? And I said to Chris, I said to him today, I said, did you get all those names? Because I know these are more jacking off into the wind, everybody. We're getting really
super
American cool.
Word that means.
Yeah, yes, jacking off into the wind.
So, decoy.
Right, there's all that. And I said, Chris, go online, find me all their names, and just find me one dude name. What other country would do this? What other, you name me a country that would have 19 animals and not give one a name of anyone that was traditional to that country.
I can't think of one.
Why do we hate ourselves? What are these? Why do these people hate them and us so much? It's just, it's all part of a bigger picture to me. So I said to Chris Maxipad, I said, go online, find me all the names. Well, first I said, take pictures, everyone. He had a wonderful vacation. Take pictures of all.
Who's your archivist?
They're all wearing these little armbands with their names. I said, you got to sneak around, get around, take all the pictures. Took all the pictures. And then I said, all right. And he said, well, there's like 15, 16. But he said, there are three that are regular names.
I was going to say, is there any of them on the list that's like normal-ish?
Normal, yes. He said, there's Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then there's, I guess, Velma. Was that the...
That's the name.
That's
because I've heard of it.
That's
that.
The other one.
Scooby-Doo, right?
And then he said, and there's Ray. And I said, oh, Ray. Well, that's good. And he went, R-E-Y. Yes. And I thought, oh, God, oh, perfect. So perfect. So perfect. Guess who's paying for this? Guess who built that aquarium? White dudes. Who do you think built the aquarium? Bunch
not,
of guys, guys named Yoko Ono.
Guys named Ray.
Bunch of dudes named Mike, Steve,
Mitch,
Butch, Dean. Yeah, all those guys.
Ricky.
I guarantee there were 28 guys named Mike involved with building. That's just the concrete part.
Yep.
Just Dave, the masonry. But no Amigos and no Dassens and no Durbins and no, maybe there was a lesbian named Elizabeth. Yeah. I don't know. Sabi. Nobody. Nobody who built that aquarium's name is reflected in these penguins.
Yeah, that should be
honored. Fun, J.O.'s. You guys all sicken me. You really do. Who do you think built the aquarium? Bunch of guys named Durbin on Good Vibes. Mm-hmm. That's what we did. We just got together and had a good vibe session. Or we all complained about whaling and recycling, and that's how the cement got poured. You know how many millions of miles of rebar? How many yards of cement? All bunch of dudes named Mike and Dave. Mm-hmm. Why is this? Why did we pretend like this wasn't done by these dudes? Those guys can't afford to go into the aquarium and watch you guys have your daisy chain. But... nobody in that 19 names was reflected in the person that just built the, how about just the habitat for the penguins? Mm-hmm. Was anyone named that?
That would make sense.
Okay.
They had the best view of all while they were building it.
Yeah, what must it be like to be one of these people? Awesome? But you get to just be in love with yourself, but you never have to tie off any rebar.
But that's the thing. That's the kind of person that you're sometimes just a little twinge of jealousy, right? Because they're so unaware, so woefully unaware.
Does somebody have to raise their hand at some point and go, you know, we do commercials. Yeah. You know, we want to just have six white guys in a car talking about erectile difficulty or having to pee too much. Yeah. We have to throw a black guy in.
Okay. How
okay.
Come?
I get it. This is the white guy version of that.
Right.
We can't name all of these things Natumbo. We have to put in one name of one dude who we went to high school with. Right. Otherwise, it seems weird. Yeah. Yes?
There's a corner of South America that's not represented here in these names. So let's.
And if you're going to go with three chick names that we've all heard of, we got to toss in one dude.
Yeah.
No.
Can't be done.
Max Patta, you're poisoned, right?
Yeah.
You see what's going on. Like, is there a coincidence here?
Well, you also turn it around. Like, if this aquarium was in South America, would they be naming theirs? Their
Durbin.
Names?
Yeah.
Steve.
Yeah. Yeah. We're
gonna... Exotic names.
Yes. All right. So that's, that was that.
So how's your vacation? Relaxing? Did you enjoy your trip up the scenic, beautiful coast?
I can't not notice
you feel
everything.
More commune with nature?
This is my problem. Yeah. Oh. All right. You know what? We got to find out what penguin names are around the world.
Ooh.
That's going to do it. Hey, I was pissed at the pandas. You know, Ling Ling and Sing Sing or whatever. But at least they're like from there.
Yeah, that might be their Steve. That might be their Larry.
It is. And they stipulate that that's what we do. Mm. Which
keep the traditional name.
I would tell them as long as we're leasing, we'll be doing the naming.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
I mean, look, if you're giving us the pandas for free,
right,
by all means, name them. If we're paying for them,
okay.
Like if you want to call your car Eleanor,
right,
you're leasing it.
I'm paying.
The dealer's not going to tell you.
Knock yourself out. Just turn it after 3 years.
Right.
Yeah, not going to tell you what to name the car. No. You're paying for it. All right. I'll put myself in a better mood. I hope these guys have BarkBox. Ooh, yeah. Deliveries of 4 to 6 natural treats, super fun toys. Picked up, and you get it every month. Surprise. They get a little theme going. It's one of those things where I don't think your dog's going to know. I mean, your dog's going to enjoy the treats and enjoy the snacks and all the natural stuff. But if you want to impress somebody, like some gal you work with, and she works extra hard, and she's got a pup at home,
or
that sort of thing, This is for them. Get it for them. That's the move. Just tell them how big your dog is. Choose a plan. They got 1, 6, or 12. You can do in the months departments. You can go whole year. You can go 1 month. You can go half a year, whatever it is. BarkBox ships on the 15th of each month. You can cancel anytime. Free shipping in the continental U.S. And if your dog doesn't like something in the box, just send it back. Philly not only likes everything in the box, he likes the box itself. He will eat the box itself. There's nothing that dog won't eat. All edible treats are made in the U.S. or Canada, so you know it's good. Ain't going out to China or any of that stuff. BarkBox.com/Adam. You get a free extra month when you subscribe for 6 or 12 months. That's BarkBox. Do it for a loved one. BarkBox.com/Adam. All right, I could put myself in a better mood here.
You dug yourself quite a hole.
Mm.
You know what I mean? In the mood department.
All the posers are driving me nuts. They're driving me nuts. And again, it's this deal where it's like, it's a sort of, I don't like us beating up on ourselves as a country. I just feel we never stop with that. And it's now you can't escape it. And I just feel like, I swear to God, when all you guys kind of go like, oh, come on, who cares? Like a stupid penguin thing. 50 years ago, those penguins would have had names that weren't those.
If they had names at all.
If they had names at all. Yeah, right? We'd probably be eating them. They'd be awesome.
Penguin burgers.
All right. Tale of two cars. I had my mom come over, and this week while we're on vacation.
Savvy move, so not to interact with her.
That's great.
Let's come by the house.
She came over before I left. Okay. Before I left, sadly, before I left. And she got herself a new car.
New to her or new to everyone?
2013.
Okay.
I said, Mom, yeah, by the time you're 175, you will get to the date we're actually in.
Yeah.
It's been a while. It used to be 25 years off.
Right.
Now she's moved to three years. I had this fantastic conversation. What happened to the last car, the Volvo that was 22 years old? First, I have a version of this conversation with many people in my life, but this one is funny. My mom drives the Volvo because it's the safest car out there, but not from 1988 compared to now.
Right, at the time.
Yes. You have an airbag that's made of a cat's bladder. It's not as safe as a brand new Ford Fiesta. Mm-hmm. It was the safest,
yeah, right,
but now modern technology is...
Now we have crumple zones.
The least safe car today would be safer probably than the Volvo.
Right up there in the, my mom sold the house I grew up in and she lived in for 50 years and it was promptly bulldozed and they built a new one like Forrest Gump. Although what happened to me was worse inside that house. Here's another good one. My mom and stepdad sold the car that they have been driving around in for the last let's call it 10 years. Would anyone like to guess what price these senior adults who live in Southern California and do a fair bit of driving and who are not destitute by any stretch of the imagination, they're a little tight-fisted, but it's not, they're, you know, my stepdad worked at Lockheed for 30 years and retired. And,
they're not poor.
They're not poor. How much they got for the Volvo wagon? Would everyone like to just write down an answer?
This is not a CarMax situation. This is a third-party, private-party sale.
It was sold to an independent. It was not sold to a citizen, a private person, but it was sold.
Okay.
22-year-old Volvo.
I'm approximating. Okay. But the car that was driven for the last 10 years by my stepfather and my mom.
I'm going to guess $500.
$500.
Because there's not too many 88 Volvos on the road. Yeah. Someone needed it for specific parts.
All right.
I'm very generous. I said $2,000.
Oh.
I'm saying it because I thought Gary was here when I blabbed it out on. Gary has $1,000. Okay. $235.
Oh!
Could you?
A bargain.
Oddly specific.
Could you imagine having a car that you drove around for the last decade as a person of means? As a person of means, and what it was worth when you were done was $235. And then, as I always yell at Olga, who I pay to listen to me, imagine those people raising you. Mm-hmm. Like, imagine when you didn't have a choice. You know what I mean? Like, I can buy whatever car I want. But imagine when you're nine, yeah, and those ones are the gatekeeper between you and the go-kart, or you going to Knott's Berry Farm, or you getting the baseball mitt, or the tickets to the event, or the concert.
They're the barrier to entry.
That is your, those are the guys who are deciding whether the money's coming out of the wallet when you hear the ice cream truck, or being pushed down into the crack of the ass. Mm. Imagine those two in charge of you having no money. How often you eaten out?
Rarely.
Oh, never.
God damn. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
So what's the other car in the scenario? This is a tale of two cars, right?
Oh.
Or did I mess that up?
Two and a half, maybe three.
Okay,
now.
Sorry.
Okay. Now, where it goes from here. And then this is the other just little, you know, the... you know the part where people give little sort of indicators as to, like, who they are,
sure,
how they are,
yeah,
how they think? And as I always say, just give me a snapshot. I don't need to go look at the full dossier. I just give me a little, give me a couple of moves, and I'll get who that, you know. Don King stomped the guy to death.
That's a key insight.
That's
his character.
I don't need to go, all right. Let me just turn the page and see what else we got here.
Woody Woodpecker hair killed somebody.
Yeah, so that's a little insight. Mm-hmm. All right, don't need to know that much more. So my mom, who I can't believe has taken this to the grave, but for the first time ever,
it's oddly prescient,
wanted to talk sort of politics, you know. And,
wow.
And I've never had a conversation, really, other than my mom's very hippy-dippy and very, you know, big this is everything. And, you know, the corporations own everything. I remember actually one time saying to her, like, well, you know, you make a lot of money. You got to pay a lot in taxes, you know. And she said, rich people don't pay taxes, do they? Mm-hmm. And I said, of course they pay taxes. And she went, I didn't think they paid taxes. Like, she literally lives in a world where people that make over $250,000 a year just don't have to pay taxes. That's her world.
Right.
And I think it's a convenient world for her because she lives in a free house, gets free stuff, and doesn't want to think about guys like me cutting checks for parks I never use. But she, you know, did her big corporation, destroying in the big corporate, you know, running. And I said, well, look, the government's a big corporation, too. So if you're, you know, I don't think big corporations are inherently evil. They employ a lot of people and sometimes do a lot of good, but also they'll go, you know, and she's more of the mindset of stay here, do the right thing, don't ship stuff out. And I said, well, the government's a big corporation and they do the same stuff. They get greedy. They do the same stuff. And she said, yeah, but the big corporations run the government. And I said, well, if the big corporations ran the government, why are all the corporations leaving California and going to Texas? Why wouldn't they just change whatever tax codes and regulations and whatever there were in California and stay? I don't think Nissan wants to move to Tennessee or wherever they go to. And I don't think all these other companies want to just pack up and move, but all the aerospace companies and all these places, but they all moved. And if they could just dictate to legislator what's going on, then they'd do it and then they'd stay, but they can't, so they move. But it was a fun conversation.
She brought a real knife to a gunfight with you.
Oh my God. Thank God I was in a swimming pool with a beer.
Oh yeah.
Underwater.
Power move though, shirt on. And, but at a certain point, she said, but what about big oil? I mean, come on. Big oil. Come on now. Poisoning the kids, poisoning the air, poisoning the environment, poisoning the children, all the cancers, all by big oil. I said, well, look, it's one of these things where it's insanely naive just to put big in front of something and say it's wrong.
Sure.
Oil has caused a lot of problems. You know, Exxon Valdez, blah, 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 blah. But it's also got us from where we were into a first world nation. We got to power all this stuff, yeah. All this stuff that you like, all the running, all the power that it generates and all the progress and just the ability. Like you want to.
You're a Volvo that ran for 25 years.
You're right. Like I'm not going to sit here and argue with you that there's been no pollution and no whatever caused by big oil, but let's not forget about all the progress we've made. And, you know, and it's one of those things too, where it's like easy to tell the third world nations that are developing, hey, easy on the fossil fuels. Like, sorry, but we don't have clean water. We don't have air conditioning. We don't have power. Mm-hmm. We can't run a satellite or we can't run a computer or anything. Like, good luck telling them. Anyway, I said, look, they've caused some good. And she's like, okay, but the big oil. Poisoning the kids. She just kept saying poisoning the kids. And I like they had to have a teaspoon of crude every night before they went to bed, you know. And also, I always have this thing with everybody and her especially. It's like, sweetheart, you're 83 years old. You've been living in this toxic environment for 83 years strong now. Like, how much poisoning is really going on?
Still kicking.
Your mom ate red meat and lived right in the middle of North Hollywood and died at 94. Like, what? How much of this is going on? So we kind of was like, look, it's not big business. It's just, you know, just because you put big in front of it, you know, Ben and Jerry's is big. It doesn't mean they're bad. You know, there's some are good, some are bad, some are in between. They really want to make money, and don't give them a personality because they're going to disappoint you. And then we talked for a little while, and it's really about the oil and the poisoning of the kids and this and the other. And then we moved on to some of our old friends and neighbors whose kids were incarcerated, and some happier notes, things like that. And then it's time to leave. And, as they're leaving,
a breezy weekend conversation.
Yeah, as they were leaving, I said, I was walking them out to their new, Mercedes station wagon. I said, oh, by the by, ever think about plug-in, electric, hybrid, something? Something like that. And she said, you know, the number one factor for me when buying a car is safety. And this one was the safest. And I thought, that is perfect on you, because you just preached to me about oil killing the kids for 15 minutes. But when it came time for you to make a decision to do your part, you went right to fossil fuels because it made you a little safer. Mm-hmm. And I thought, that's her in a nutshell. But also, is there part of you that pauses after giving the lecture? This is all I'm saying. This is what's going on. This is a microcosm of it. But what I'm saying is you just lectured me for 20 minutes on big oil, and now we're walking out to your Autobahn burner, and that thing gets 17 miles to the gallon. Yeah. And there are plenty of choices for plug-in and plenty of choices for everything, but that's not as safe for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's not an ounce of irony
No.
In it, and or, you know, we were looking at the Prius, but we decided. Yeah. No, just
got
right,
a better deal on
right
the...
to it. Just, this is the safest car. That's why we went with it. Yep. And I thought, that's perfect. And it also, it's perfect for your ilk, because you get to sit and complain about everything and then jump back into your Mercedes.
I wish I could think of a better word for it, but I think human beings are instinctively selfish. I don't mean selfish like in a mean way. I just mean like you think of yourself first as an instinct and rather than the planet.
Self-centered.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Well, yeah, like your self-preservation. You know what I mean? And safety was obviously very important, more than her conscious choice to, you know, recycle or do whatever those other things are.
Well, look, this is my point. Nobody is hippier or dippier than my mom. But when it comes time to cash the check or to cut the check or to squeeze the trigger, it's all her.
Right.
So the only way you're going to get people to recycle the oil or the bottles or the whatever is to give them incentive. Because at the end of the day, poor illegal Mexican who's crawled over the border and come over here to do day labor, or my, you know, old Whitey, my mom, at the end of the day, what benefits me the most?
Sure.
And that's how we roll. And I get it. I'm fine with
that. Own it.
I'm just saying, my mom wants businesses to stay in California and pay more in taxes because it's the right thing to do. But she won't buy an electric car. Mm-hmm. So how do you expect these huge companies to do the right thing when you're not going to do the right thing? Mm-hmm. Now, I give you incentive to do the right thing. You give Nissan incentive to do the right thing, and they will do the right thing.
Magically.
Minus that, they're moving. Mm-hmm. That's how we work. I just wish we understood that more clearly. All right.
Does she ever just look at you in your pool with your house and the family and just go, how did you get successful with all the barriers I put in between you and success?
Consciously attempted to prevent.
Yeah.
You don't
you do
get it?
It.
I just do the exact opposite. What would mom do? And here we go.
Let me tell you about Caliper CBD. Caliper CBD. It's a better way to consume CBD. Unlike CBD oils, Caliper CBD powder is completely tasteless. It mixes in any food or drink. No weird taste or oily residue. It's good, before you go to bed. Kind of relaxes you. It's good, let's say, after a workout. Again, eases the pain of the muscles. Just kind of, especially with all that's going on, man. Clinically proven to be superior to standard CBD oils. Absorb 450% more CBD. Wow, that is a lot. All the benefits of CBD in just 15 minutes. About twice as fast as CBD oil. Comes in affordable 10 and 30 count packs, precisely 20 milligrams in each packet, and you get started for under $20. No GMOs, completely THC free, all natural. It is Caliper CBD, right, Dawson?
Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code Adam at trycaliper.com/Adam. You can try Caliper CBD risk-free for 30 days. If you don't love it, they'll give you a full refund. That's trycaliper.com/Adam. Don't forget promo code Adam for 20% off your first order.
And that was Adam's trip to the Monterey Aquarium. I was there for that, and those trips are super fun, and Adam's always really relaxed. It's a slightly different version of Adam when you see him that way, and now that he was able to bring Sonny with him, they got to spend some quality dad-son time. All right, let's get going with our next clip. Speaking of Sonny, we got to have some Natalia to balance it out.
Yeah, roughly 6 months later, in January of 2017, Adam Carolla Show 1988 guest Darren Knight, not in this portion, just Gina Grant and Brian Bishop along with Adam. Adam's talking about Natalia going to Chicago, not getting any snow, being bummed out, coming back and wanting to go up to the mountain, and their trek up to the mountains to get Natalia to see some snow. Adam has some hilarious, hilarious quotes in this story. Check it out.
Good day, Gina Grant.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
Cool.
Sonny's response to your good idea.
Sonny, yeah.
Cool. He has no use for you.
No. Cool. He's I did not take him to the snow on Saturday, but I did take Natalia to the snow on Saturday. Along with her friend to go tubing.
Oh, it's so fun.
It is. And
I have a couple thoughts. One is, Natalia did something that, you know how I just sort of study patterns and the way people are, and I know who they are. And once you study them, everyone is wildly consistent, mm-hmm. and then they don't deviate. And then if there is a deviation, it's a misunderstanding. Mm-hmm. So I said, so Natalia, who went to Chicago for 4 or 5 days over the Christmas break, did not experience any snow.
Oh, wow.
She came back wounded, psychologically. Remember when you'd fly?
Despondent.
Remember as a kid, you'd fly Virgin first class, mm-hmm. stayed like the Four Seasons in Chicago, but there was no snow?
Yeah.
And how you came back despondent?
Yeah, the whole trip
was ruined. Ruined. There's not enough deep dish pizza to bury yourself in to make that right.
I know, I tried.
So she came back, and she was upset that there was no snow, and then so she made the proclamation that we need to go find some snow. So I said, all right, I'll take you and Sonny for the day. We'll go out and find some snow. We'll go tubing. We'll go to one of those places.
That's the promise of Southern California.
Yeah.
Ski in the morning and you know, go to the beach in the afternoon.
And it's crazy. It's about, well, there's traffic on a Saturday, but it's about 80, 90 minutes away, and you're at the snow. Snow, not given credit for being as beautiful as it is. Like people say, hey, go down to the beach, walk on the sand, stare at that ocean, really, you know, get your head together.
Drink it in.
Drink it in. Let your tootsies hit the Pacific Ocean. The snow, especially these evergreen trees that have been covered from frost from the night before as you look up when the sun breaks through.
It's like a fairy tale.
It's amazing. It's from a complete, just visually, aesthetically, once you get up in those hills and then you look down enough where you can see there's sort of desert and there's no snow and then there's snow and it's very nice.
It's majestic.
Majestic. So I took, so the funny misunderstanding was, and it's one of those things where people can settle the confusion pretty easily, but I'll tell it to you anyway. I said, all right, so we'll take you and your friend Lauren up to the snow, and we'll do it this weekend. This is, you know, Monday, Tuesday. And then at a certain point, old guy chimes in and says, well, what about Sonny? And, well, it turns out Sonny's got a kid's birthday party to go to. Never in the annals of history where kids being devastated by other events that were every bit as fun. We didn't have that as an option. Like, we couldn't be like, hey, I can't go to Knott's Berry Farm because I got to go to Disneyland. So I'm getting screwed over here, right? Understand? So just go ahead and think about what you've done to me.
I hope you feel my pain as you're going to Space Mountain.
Now figure out ways to make up, you know, picture me not at Spillikin Corners when I'm on Space Mountain. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now go home, shut the door, and go figure out how we're going to write this wrong. I don't know how we spilled into the zone where people were getting screwed because they chose not to do that event because they chose to do another event that was a slumber party with a football game attached
to
it.
Too much good stuff.
Sonny's very even keeled, but he did have another event. And then we felt sort of bad that
double booked.
Now Natalia's going to the snow, but Sonny's not going to the snow. So Olga then says, well, why don't we see if we can put it off to the next weekend? And then Sonny could go. And I said, well, fine with me. That's one, you know, that's 7 days further away from me having to drive to snow for a full Saturday and
brace
do nothing.
Yourself.
So I said, Natalia. Yeah. She's like, yeah. I said, how about we do the snow thing the following weekend? Not this week, but the following. And she went, yeah.
Oh.
Sounds good. And I was like, huh? What? I've never.
Yoinks.
Everything to her is like trying to get a cat into a sleeping bag cover. You know what I mean? It's, yeah, come on. Even if it's the good stuff. So she's like, yeah, I could do that. And I said, really? And she said, yeah, we'll go this weekend. Yeah, we'll
in
go
addition,
again.
I knew it.
Yeah, we'll
in
go
addition.
Next weekend. I said, perp, we're back. We are back, everybody.
Everybody's
we're right
playing
back.
The role.
Everybody's back. So that, at least we were back. Yeah. I got that. So I said, all right, so I'll take the kids, I'll take the girls out tubing. So we bought basically a tubing lift pass. mass. Mm-hmm. And it's so crazy. They have this conveyor belt that lifts them up from the bottom of the tubing run back to the top. Mm-hmm. It's such a weird thing because seeing 8-9-year-olds standing on a conveyor belt going through the snow, like, it's so Orwellian. And also, geez, I wonder why we have a little problem with obesity here. This is going out and playing in the snow, except for you're riding
the magic carpet,
a conveyor belt back
the tram.
Up. Yeah. It's only about it's probably about 70 feet spread out over about 100 yards or 80 yards, but totally hikeable. Mm. But now you stand on the conveyor belt, you drag your tube, you throw it at a Mexican when you get to the top, and then you get a fresh tube when you're ready to get back in your flume again. But there was this thing, and I don't know if you guys are like me or you're experiencing this, but I have this obsession with way too much interaction, discussion, and information once the verdict has been rendered. So, like I said, years ago when I was at the Burbank airport and you got the, could you go ahead and turn around for me? And you're at security and you start turning around real fast. Mm. Do we have to add the real fast? Mm.
I'm turning.
Yes. I'm, what is it? 360, something like 185 into, or 180. I'm 180 into my, scratch it. Yeah, Brian's making a face. I'm 90.
Yeah, there it is.
I'm 90 into my 180. Okay. I'm 90 into my 180, which has taken all of a second and a half, and you got to throw in the real fast. As I'm, but by the time you get to real fast, I'm already, my back is to you. But just this extra everything talk. And it's a little sing-song. It's a little condescending, but it's also like, okay, it's like sort of yes or no. So at a certain point, I got a lot of hours up on this mountain. And I'm not going tubing. I didn't buy myself a tubing pass. The girls brought
doing?
A tubing. Well, you're going to find out. Hmm. They had a chalet up top, which is just a place where they sell really expensive frozen, formerly frozen, you know, fish sticks and chicken sticks and weird. The thing that drives me nuts is the stuff that's not nachos but advertises nachos.
Oh, with the orange
round chips and the pump cheese. Yeah. And I just stared at it. Mm-hmm. It's a Vinnie Tortorich nightmare. And
it's like garlic to a vampire for Vinnie.
Speaking of Vinnie Tortorich, I thought, all right, I'm on my diet. I'll order myself a scotch and I'll sit down by the fire and I will watch
the
football game.
There you go.
So I go up to the bar and I go, you have scotch or anything hard here? And they go, no, just beer and wine. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, okay. Then she paused and she said, because of the kids. I said, okay. Huh? No hard liquor on the mountain. Because of the kids. And I'm like, I hear you. Like, if I got a scotch, I'd be fucking my daughter in a snowbank within about 20 minutes of now.
Yeah.
You're right. And that would terrify all the kids coming up on the bus, you know, just seeing my white ass against the snowbank.
My dad's drinking scotch.
You could beat your kids just fine on beer and wine, by the way.
I think so, historically you're probably correct there. Yeah, I can have enough of those 16-ounce IPAs to get a good whooping on. But I just thought, like, you can just tell me we don't have hard liquor. I'm not going to start getting into all the ins and outs. What?
I demand a reasonable explanation.
What for tell might be the reason? Because of the children. Also, it's a weird thing because it gives you some sort of weird guilt complex. I didn't want any. I was just asking. I mean, I love kids. Yeah, yeah.
You can't argue with that.
Yeah.
Because of the kids.
Well.
So they were tubing all day. I was sitting up drinking a coffee and watching the football game. Was it the Patriots game? Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, probably.
Patriots and
I was actually watching the Seahawks game, sorry.
Okay. Seahawks Falcons.
All day, yeah. And we had a good time. And I got to tell you, I've done a lot of this in my life. As much as you think dragging the kids somewhere and sort of, hey, here's your lift pass, go run around and tube for 3 hours, I'll be sitting up here. As much as you sort of might dread that as a boring day for you, you'll never, it is the, I've said, everyone should have to go to the coin-op laundry twice a year just to sit there on that fiberglass stool with the smell of miniature boxes of Tide in the background and get stuff done. You'll never get more done. You just don't really have that time where the TV's not around, you can't get to any of your stuff, and you're sort of forced to, whatever. I go up there, I bring my pile of buck slips with my miscellaneous junk that I haven't got to or I have got to. I literally just pile them up on the table and I just sit there with a couple of master buck slips and I just use it as, here's my, I got 3 hours. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to get my stuff done.
It's a good
opportunity to get stuff done.
So she's past the age of daddy, watch me. You got to watch us do this.
Yeah, I was sort of hanging around and trying to, you know, take a picture when they go down the hill or whatever that was. But no, she's got her friend.
Beat it.
Yeah, most of them.
They're in that transitional period to dad, live us alone.
Yeah.
Make yourself scarce.
It's funny. They never did. Natalia's got a little bit of that, but they never really were a ton about, watch this, where are you? They're not clingy. Like they want to get dropped off and never go home. Mm-hmm. Their friends, their families are better than ours. Their houses are better. Like everything's better. The dads are better. Like everything's better. So they're smart. They're going to a better place. All right. We have been trying to get to this peanut allergy thing for a while because I got 1,000 tweets about it. I told Gary to, in my audiobook on 50 Years Will All Be Chicks, I think I must have addressed this peanut allergy thing. And I said, why don't you grab that? We'll listen to a little bit of that. Gina, you get ready with the story. All first, right. I'll tell you guys about Smart Mouth. It's the only activated mouthwash clinically proven to instantly eliminate bad breath and prevent bad breath for a full 12 hours per rinse. So do it at night, be good in the morning. Activation is the key. They got two separate liquids that combine to activate zinc ions that stop bacteria from producing sulfur gas. It's real, baby. Clinically tested science that works. So doesn't matter if you're out all day or wherever you are, all night. Smart Mouth. Next time you're out drinking, smoking, getting, use Smart Mouth before heading home with somebody. That's right. You're going to meet somebody. And that look, the breath's going to be in bad shape because wherever you were, it was smoking, it was drinking, it was bad
fake,
bar
fake
food.
Fake nachos.
No hard liquor, just a lot of booze
for
and boxes
kids.
Of wine.
For the kids.
Visit smartmouth.com. That's smartmouth.com. Or you can find it at Walmart's, Target, Walgreens, CVS, wherever you like, wherever you shop. Smart Mouth, baby. All right, so now studies have come in on this peanut business.
Mm-hmm.
And what have we found out?
Well, here is one of many articles. This one's from the Tribune. It says, most babies should start eating peanut-containing foods well before their first birthday, says guidelines released Thursday, that aim to protect high-risk youngsters from developing dangerous food allergies. The new guidelines from the National Institute of Health mark a shift in dietary advice based on a landmark research that found early exposure dramatically lowers a baby's chances of becoming allergic. The recommendation spells out exactly how to introduce infants to peanut-based food and when, for some, as early as 4 to 6 months of age, depending on whether they're at high, moderate, or low risk of developing one of the food allergies.
This notion that we have guidelines for introducing kids to peanut butter sandwiches is an insane thing. And, of course, I always knew the answer because I knew we can't physiologically change that much. Now,
but did you know it before January 5th, 2017? Because that's when this article's
from.
It's
the day of reckoning.
All I know is, in terms of our attitudes, we can change very quickly. Like, it didn't take us that long to come around on undoing Bill Cosby after a 45-year career.
Right.
No one more beloved than Bill Cosby. And within about a 9-month period, I think everyone was pretty much done with Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
Right?
So
those kinds of things we can come around on real quick. But physiologically, I just don't think we change that much as a species in a very short period of time. What we do is our minds are all super soft and super and out of problems. And these are always frightened people are the tip of the pussy spear. They lead the parade of pusses who then file in behind them while they're going down some sort of fucking retard avenue with their kicking their legs high and pounding on their bass drums. And I'm always the guy standing on the curb going, I'm not going to get in line behind these fucking idiots. And everyone's like, haven't you heard? And I'm like, I know what I know. And they're like, yeah, but this person's blah, blah. And then somebody
does
this.
It's hard to argue
one.
With the kid who the 2-year-old kid who actually has a peanut allergy.
Right.
Because of this, it's hard to argue with that.
Yes. And it'd be hard to argue with
air travel if all you did was focus on the 10 or 12 major disasters over the course of the last 30 years.
Of course.
But if you then look at the overwhelming number of flights that take place on a daily basis with no difficulties at all, if you factor that in, like a human should, then you'd realize it's safe to go to the airport.
Yeah.
If you only focus on a couple of outliers, then of course not. And all I'm saying is, I'm not saying there's no disasters, aeronautical disasters. I'm saying is, it's relatively few and far between, and it really shouldn't be coloring your decision
yes.
on how to get to Boston.
Yeah.
And take it a step further, whether it's whatever it is, the unintended consequences. Who said you taking a Greyhound to Boston or a train to Boston had zero risk
far
factor?
Risky.
You've yeah, all decided idea. That this other modality has zero potential. Has zero risk potential. And I'm like, these other things lead to other things, like keeping peanuts away from kids and keeping everything away from kids and dipping them in Purell every 5 minutes. That does have consequences. All right. So the article is, I'm sorry, what?
So they're saying that between 4 to 6 months of age, your best bet is to introduce them to peanuts so they don't get a peanut allergy, dangerous peanut allergy.
Can I tell you, Tessa had her checkup, her like her monthly doctor's appointment, a couple days after this article came out. And of course, we all got tweeted, you know, a few dozen times. And I said to the doctor, her pediatrician, she's still on, you know, formula and breast milk and, you know, the bottle. She's going to transition to like solid food soon. And we're like, I said to the doctor, I said, how soon should I introduce the peanuts, you know, so she doesn't develop one of these trendy new peanut allergies? And she's like, oh no, like pretty much right as soon as she starts eating solid food, work a little bit into her food.
Work everything in.
All right, Dr. Morse.
Yeah.
Madison Reed, mister. So the story of Madison Reed, well, they make great hair coloring and they make it for women. And most of the women know what I'm talking about. And they've been doing that for a while, and now they thought, well, what about the fellas? What about the guys? They're getting a little too much salt, not enough pepper in those beard or the temples or just on your head. So why not? So they started a company, Madison Reed Mister, and this is a gray blending natural color for your hair, and it looks natural. You don't get that shoe polish look. You can go online and look at some of the before and afters and also pick out the color that matches your hair. And then you go ahead and get the kit, which I did. Put a little dollop in your hand, run it through your hair. And then the activator, again, just a little dollop. And let it sit for 10 minutes. Rinse it out. Very natural. And again, not startling. Just a little more pepper, a little less salt. Madison Reed Mister, right, Dawson?
Go to MadisonReedMister.com. That's MadisonReedMister.com and use code Corolla for 10% off plus free shipping on your first box. Again, that's code Corolla.
In that clip about Adam taking Natalia to the mountain from 2017. All right, let's keep it going. This clip, all balls.
Or JV.
No, it's all balls.
Adam Carolla Show, episode 1248, Joe Coy, Def Rat Guy, Allison Rose, and Brian Bishop. It opens with Def Rat Guy in studio. You get a little JV or all balls or JV. Then I cut a little portion of Joe Coy, so you got a little bit of that as well. It's overall hilarious. Hope you guys enjoy it.
Good day, Allison Rose.
Hello, Adam Carolla.
And the bald one, Bald Brian.
I agree wholeheartedly.
At Team VIA wanted that on Twitter with the hashtag top drop.
Us doing our thing in Buffalo, University of Buffalo, coming up this Saturday. And also me doing our thing, Motor City Casino, this Thursday in Detroit. And of course, DFG, Def Rat Guy in studio.
You be careful about eating them buffalo wing.
Yeah. They're spicy.
If you do nuclear, you're going to be feeling that for a couple months probably.
Yeah. You don't want to go nuclear on those things. No. What would be the...
Atomic?
So I don't know how it goes. Hot is atomic or nuclear is...
Atomic, then nuclear, then they got the new one, Fukushima.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So that's super hot.
Yeah, and they put a little, you know that ginger and that green stuff?
Yeah.
And then the little green wrapping paper to make it look like it's sushi. It's fun.
Right. No, I get no. I like my food to be as pleasing to the eyes as it is to the palate.
You eat with your eyes, they say.
I've always said that.
But they say that if you eat like more than half a dozen of the Fukushima, you'll immediately have ulcers from your tongue to your butthole.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't worry. Well, I'll take it easy on that then. But that is coming up. We're going to be in Buffalo.
Is it worth it?
No, it's not worth it. It's definitely not worth it. I mean, it feels good going down, but, you know, once the ulcers kick in on the butthole, absolutely not.
Hell yeah.
Okay. So, Def Rec Guy website, by the way, defrecguy.com. We got some all balls or JV to play with you. This is quickly becoming my this and the Matt Atchity Rotten Tomatoes game is my quickly becoming a fan and personal favorite.
It's a race, neck and neck.
Yeah,
I would say.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just you, eh? It seems like a lot of the followers on Twitter have enjoyed it too.
Well, it's interesting because just when you think you have all balls or JV wired, he throws a curveballs at you.
Mm-hmm. Like, bro, I could do an easy one. We'll start out with an easy one.
Well, we got an intro. Hold on a second. I know you can't hear it, but we created an intro. You can feel the bass.
Is it on yet?
Oh, wait a minute. This is JV, bro. You can't hear a word you say. He gets drunk every day.
With Poochie and Moose, he's the Def Rat Guy. What's happening? Funnels
and chugging. You're so lucky you dodged a man-eater bullet. The sax in the generic, shitty, Muzak-y karaoke is every bit as good as the one that's in the song. Possibly better. Possibly better.
Pretty solid bass line from what I could feel.
Actually, Maneater is one of those songs that doesn't – you don't lose much in the karaoke version of it. The real one is such a synthesized piece of hollowed-out shit – that it doesn't drop off when there's ones that have rich horns and big strings and, you know, Send in the Clowns and that kind of stuff. It sounds pretty bad.
Your
on
hits
the
like Send in the Clowns.
Big ones like I used to, like I'll do. You know, I'll get in
all
there.
The hits from
I'll
Carousel.
Do Babs. I'll do Roberta Flack. I'll do all the big names and all the big hits. Stuff that has a lot of horns and a lot of wood and a lot of strings. But this is hollowed out, synthoed Casio to start with.
Yeah. It starts out as Muzak.
That's right. All right. DFG?
Oh, well, speaking of music, what do you think the Grammys, all balls or JV?
Wow. I watched some of it. I saw Pink doing her high wire act. I thought it was pretty impressive. I mean, some of those stunts. I don't feel like I can't figure out my relationship with Ringo Starr. I just feel like
envy.
And then there's another part that's just like, don't sing, Ringo. Like I
had to explain to Christy why he was the luckiest man on earth, and she got it.
Yeah, but then you talk,
bro. That dude Ringo may not be like Clark Kent or like Brad Pitt, but
Clark Kent
gets more snatched than a three-handed gypsy.
That's a lot of snatch.
You may be right. Yeah, I never really thought of it in terms of snatch. You know, it's just more approached it sort of musically. But you know, everyone says he's a really good drummer. I swear to God, first it started off with he's a bad drummer who's lucky to be with the Beatles. Then there'd be it's the Ishtar backlash.
Oh, it's come back around in a Ringo now?
Yeah, like Ishtar was the worst movie ever made, and then after you're done beating it up for a decade or two, then people are like, you know, it's pretty. They go up like eight octaves, and they go, that's actually pretty funny. I mean, and now everyone kind of likes Ishtar.
Let me tell you, he's a good drummer, a Ringo Starr. Don't fool yourself.
He got his butt kicked for like
25 years, and now everyone's going, oh, no, he's a good drummer. I think a lot of it is backlash, people liking to correct other people just for the fucking sake of it.
It's they just know shitting you don't on your point.
Know who's a good drummer and who's not a good drummer.
Somebody said, Pucci's uncle was telling me that the Beatles, they said, that John Lennon. They go, who is, do you think Ringo is the best drummer in rock? And he goes, fuck that. He's not even the best drummer in the Beatles.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's better drummers in the Beatles.
Yeah, that's what he said, John Lennon, about, Gringo.
Well, Gringo. Yeah, Ringo. Anyway, stay behind the kit. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying. Don't get up there with the microphone in your hand. But Pink looked pretty crazy on that trapeze up there doing her whole Cirque du Soleil thing. So,
smart to do something that no one has the authority to say, oh, that sucked. Like, none of us know the intricacies of rope dancing or whatever she did. Like,
yes.
No one could say she sucked. It looks good.
No, and there's no element of, oh, shit, this again. Yeah,
I'm pretty much in for any death-defying act.
Yeah. And, you know, you're never up there just going, oh, I just saw Dionne Warwick do that shit. So fucked out. I'll go all balls.
I'm going all balls as well.
BB.
It's got to be all balls.
Wrong, JV.
Aww. Why?
Because we know that Oscar is a dude. We know that Emmy is a lady.
Mm-hmm.
Who's Grammy? Sounds like a bad nickname for a coke dealer. Yeah. You don't know who he is.
It might be a she. I don't. Maybe it's an old woman. You're right. You're right. It's a gramophone. I think it's a gramophone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't care whose fucking grandmother it is.
No, I'm saying the gramophone.
Hell yeah.
Okay. All right.
What about beating off on your birthday?
Oh. So I never thought about that.
How could that possibly be JV?
Yeah, that's
all balls for me, man.
Yeah, it's gotta be all balls.
But what makes it JV is if you do it on your birthday but you're thinking about an ex girlfriend.
So footnote to that
So you mean
balls.
Like you don't want to be living in the past and beating off in the present.
Yeah, on your birthday.
Yeah, so you should be thinking about whom? Like somebody from the future?
No,
like
you can't.
Like a robot
no,
you haven't
think.
Fucked yet?
Just like watch something. You don't have to think.
Oh, right. Watch something.
Throw on a, one of those internet things.
Yeah, right. But hey, let me ask you a personal question, DFG.
What's up?
When you beat off and you're watching something, are you pretending like it's you that's there or are you just watching? You know what I mean? Like, is it just you sitting at the dentist's office looking at the aquarium? Or are you swimming with the fish?
It depends. Like, in the old days, I looked at guys like, Rocco, Peter North.
Mm.
They were like, guys that collected their baseball cards.
Right.
I looked up to them. Heroes.
So
with them, I was like seeing how, getting tips on how to make love to a woman.
Well, no. Have you ever seen like Jamie Gillis and guys like that? They were rough.
Jamie Gillis, I think we're both fans of his. He was known for the Human Toilet Bowl series that he did.
Yeah, I'm saying one time I spoke to Ginger Lynn. You got to find me a picture of Jamie Gillis.
I'm not familiar with his work.
I like him because his cock is average sized and he closes his eyes when he talks.
He kind of looks like the Ace Man.
We're definitely simpatico, pardon the pun with the potty series, but we see eye to not eye on a couple of things. I remember talking to, I think it was Jamie Gillis. If you can find me a picture of Jamie Gillis, porn star, you should be able to find it pretty quick there, Gary. I just want to make sure I'm talking about the same dude. He did a lot of work back in the day. Yeah, there he is.
There's the Ace Man.
He did a lot of work back in the day, back when a lot of these guys were just sort of like New York film students, sort of in it for the art. They didn't get paid that much. But he was a little rough with the ladies. You'd see him kind of, but it would like being...
Was it tough love? That's how you know he cares?
Well, yeah, I like to think so. I mean, and he didn't move quickly, like being raped by a three-toed sloth. You know, it's like a lot of like slow pushing movements that seemed sort of, he was almost a passive aggressive sexual partner.
There was one where this chick pretended to like take a little nibble out of his meat puppet.
Right.
Out of the top.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, "You try that again, I'll punch you for real."
Yeah, yeah. It was rough trade.
But he was a Columbia-educated...
he's a hero.
Yeah.
He's a hero. But...
he was a teak.
He was tough. Oh, was he a teak?
Yeah.
You sure? I heard he was Tridel.
No, they don't have Tridel Columbia.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Anyway. I was talking to legendary porn actress Ginger Lynn when she did Loveline once. And I said, what about it? What about Jamie Gillis? You know? Seemed like an asshole to me. Seemed a little rough to me. And... seemed like a misogynist to me. And she said, "No, Jamie was a good guy. I mean, one time he did the dry anal rape with me. But other than that, you know, this gentleman." And she said it like one time he used a salad fork for the entree, but it was replaced that with dry anal rape.
It's a transgression you could easily overlook.
Yeah, we've all been there. Mm-hmm. We all know what it's like.
You can't hold just one dry anal rape against it. That does not a man make.
I agree.
Is this
it's
on
unfair.
Film?
You got to stand back and look at the man's complete body of work instead of the one dry anal raping.
You can see it on the video. This Jamie Gillis and Ginger Lynn. You can see when it happens, and she remains remarkably stoic.
Yeah, yeah, she's composed.
Considering,
she's a pro. She's
raped.
A pro. Anyway, sorry. Beating off, yeah.
On your birthday.
What do you think about?
No, I just like, you know, if I'm thinking about myself or the lady, then I'll go for the POV one.
Mm-hmm.
But with the old guys like Jamie Gillis, mm-hmm. you're like, hell yeah, bro. You're the bomb.
Yeah.
You almost never find yourself looking even at the lady.
Mm. What?
No, I mean, you do. But you want to see, like, you know, what he's going to do next.
I don't know. I find myself, you know, looking at the lady, maybe even more.
I'm not looking at the dude's, like, meat and bag.
It sounded like you kind of said you're just focusing on the dude.
No, not really.
Okay. So you are looking at the lady.
Yeah, I'm not like Moose, bro. I'm not like, you know.
Didn't Moose get
wood? The doorman at the San Francisco Jacks.
Moose got wood at the halftime of the Super Bowl when Mick Jagger was out there singing once, right?
Yeah, but this time it was also Steven Tyler.
Oh, really? Okay. Anyway, all right. So you're looking at the lady.
Yeah, I look at the lady, but when you see an old vet, it's nice to watch the guy work, is what
guy
I'm
like
saying.
Jamie Gillis.
Yeah. I'm not looking at the dude's crank.
Right.
But... I'm looking at the lady, but I want to see how he's impressing her.
Right.
And how he treats her like a lady should be treated.
Okay, I get
you. Unlike this thing now where it's like, you know, some of that stuff is nasty, especially the stuff that comes from like Chechnya and like Eastern Europe.
Yeah, a lot of spitting and slapping and stuff like that.
Yeah, like Hungary.
Hungary?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's Hungary.
I don't need that.
Yeah, I don't need that either. That's not a turn on.
And I like, honestly, I like to see a nice bikini tan line with a full bush.
All right. So beating off on your birthday is all balls, right?
To the ex-girlfriend, JV.
Oh, JV to the ex.
But,
okay.
Bro, I got to get, hey, listen to this. This guy, like, you know these porn stars. I mean, they're just like you and me. Except that they get more freaking gash than a ER in Compton on a Saturday night. But they're a normal dude.
Yeah.
Right?
They're
just like us.
It's a ton of gash.
Yeah, it's a lot of gash. But yeah, I do know what you're saying.
I mean, yeah, they can bang for 2 hours straight. You know, but they're just like us.
That's right.
And they're the nicest guys in the world.
Well, I don't know all of them. Again, Jamie... I don't want to defend the man with the dry anal rape and everything.
Well, he's dead now.
Oh, is he gone?
He left this world about 2 years ago.
All right, listen, I'm sorry if I'm bringing up some feelings that maybe...
His work lived on.
No, I understand, but I just didn't know that this was a sensitive thing for you.
Jamie passed.
Okay, you know, I didn't know. You watched a fucking crawl on CNN. You think... You know, Allison, you call yourself a news girl?
I don't know how I missed this one. I'm sorry.
It's called headline news for a reason.
It wasn't like a huge funeral or anything.
No, I understand. It's friends and family. But still, I would have liked to have paid my respects. Yeah. I've got to find out when Jamie Gillis passed now. He will be missed.
I think I probably felt something in the air that day.
All right. What else you got?
Well, since I've been doing this thing, I've never had it all ball JV thing that has made this much controversy.
February 2010, by the way.
What got him?
I don't know. We're gonna have to figure that out, because you know he was 66, and you know I can tell you the man was in good shape because I've only seen him nude. I've never actually seen him with clothes on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Skin cancer.
There you go.
No.
Yeah.
That's what he gets from being nude all the time.
Mm-hmm. Maybe he did a lot of outdoor scenes.
Yeah. You got to toss on a little SPF every once in a while.
But recently I showed a picture which...
He must have. You got to look it up, because at some point these guys get into real estate, find Jesus Christ, or begin painting. Or all of the above.
Mm-hmm. Well, many people have had the tale. He was a working actor doing summer stock. Then he started doing a few loops.
Yeah, loops is what they called them back in the day.
To make ends meet.
Mm-hmm.
And, but anyway, you know.
You'll be missed.
R.I.P., bro.
R.I.P. I didn't want to bring it there.
Surprisingly, never had kids.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess when you come in people's hair exclusively, it cuts down on your family growth.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But anyway,
he goes deep into 05, by the way. He didn't hang up his cock ring until 05.
No, he was into some pretty weird shit, though. The human toilet bowl series, just stay away. Save your money.
Well, also, I don't think it's the way you'd want to remember the man.
No, they...
Do I dare ask?
Well...
Imagine a human toilet bowl, and you're there.
I'm saying,
like a hot Carl, but not on the chest.
Let me say this. John Kennedy, Martin Luther King, they had a couple transgressions. You know what I mean? In their career, but you don't stand back and focus simply on being with a couple ladies outside of wedlock. It's let's stand back and look at the full totality of their work and what they brought.
Their impact
on this planet. And, you know, again, I'm not saying they're above Jamie Gillis or Jamie Gillis is above them.
Yeah.
I'm simply saying stand back and take a look at the full measure of the man.
Were they right? That's for history to decide.
That's right.
Did you know that he was the inspiration for Burt Reynolds' character in Boogie Nights?
Well, there you go. For that work alone.
With the limo. He was the first to hire a limo with a adult film actress and have her just bone whatever Tom, Dick, or Harry comes
there you
into
go.
The vehicle.
There you go. Pioneer. Sorry. He will be missed. I didn't mean to bring it down.
No, it's all good. Oh, hey, what about Obama calling Al-Qaeda JV?
Yeah. A lot of people tweeted me that. They think maybe he ripped that off.
I mean, then I don't know. What do you think Al-Qaeda's saying? They're Al Bald?
Yeah.
Al Balls?
Yeah, Al Bald.
Al Balls?
Yeah, like Al Jazeera, but like Al Bald. And they're like, you're JV, bro.
Yeah, I don't think they say bro.
But they're probably like, your country's in the shit or nobody even likes you anymore that much.
Yeah, that's JV.
Because, I like the dude. I like that he says JV. I like that he's always sucking down kick-your-ass bong hits.
We talking about Jamie Gillis still, or we moved on?
No, President Obama.
Obama, yeah. Yeah, he loves the weed.
Yeah.
Called Al-Qaeda JV. I mean, I feel like he could rush your frat.
Yeah, the dude's in Hawaii boogie boarding with a huge spleef in his freaking mouth.
Yeah, he's blown off a little steam.
But then Mitt Romney comes in and says that Vladimir Putin is a better president than Obama.
Really?
Is that all balls or JV?
Just by your inflection, I got to say JV, because I didn't know he said
JV.
That.
Mitt Romney.
Putin is a bad dude.
He has no place to this on our president.
Yeah, Putin is like ex-KGB, seems like a pretty bad dude.
I mean, Putin, dude, that dude KO'd one of the freaking Klitschko brothers with a liver kick.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I think it was Vladimir.
Vladimir?
Well, the dude, it's like W.
Vladimir?
I don't know, dude.
Oh, you can't hear it. Right. You have to read it. It seems weird.
It's a weird name. I don't know how to make a W.
There's a Vitaly and a Vladimir. But one starts with a W.
Yeah, I think he like...
He liver kicked him?
Well, like Vitaly was still like, you know, like dizzy from getting his ears boxed by Putin.
Really?
Yeah. And then he's like over and Vladimir... It's like,
Vladimir?
He's like, bro, help me, dude. And he's like, I can't hear you, bro.
Oh, because he got boxed.
Yeah. And Putin's like, hey, how about a liver kick?
Well, I know Putin
like knocked him out.
Putin, I've seen him. He likes to get in the gi and roll,
yeah,
man.
He's a wrestle bear. He's virile.
Into jiu-jitsu and stuff like that. And, you know, I know he stole Robert Kraft's Super Bowl ring. Or was that the Pope?
No,
I can't remember.
I think it was Putin.
He stole Robert Kraft's Pope ring, I think is what happened.
Yeah, and Kraft wanted it back. He's like, give me that ring back. Putin's like, yeah, I'll give you like some dog or some shit back.
He'll kick you in the liver,
man. He's like,
man.
You don't do that over here. You give someone something.
Right.
It's for keep.
Right.
It's not like, hey, borrow this thing and then give it back to me.
Understood.
JV, bro.
JV.
But Putin.
Right.
I almost have to go all balls, bro. I mean, they still got photographed naked on a white horse.
Who?
Putin.
Who got...
The president of Russia, Putin.
Hold on.
Putin.
Pullen?
Pudding.
Pudding? All right. He was... Where
the
was
guy
he?
That Sarah Palin said was rearing his ugly head over Alaska airspace.
Oh, Putin.
Hell yeah.
Okay. He was photographed naked on a horse?
Yeah, dude, it's out there. And the dude's, you know, surprisingly well endowed.
Wow. You know, my...
Boy, little guy.
Yeah, and I don't... My cock-based policy is I don't pull it out in front of horses. Because you just don't want...
There he is,
you don't
bro.
Want that, you know?
I mean, what good can come of it?
Nothing.
He's shredded, bro.
Yeah, well, he's got his shirt off on a horse.
All right, sorry, bro.
He's not naked, though.
Someone told me he was naked.
No, he's just got a shirt off. Although it is a very fucked up culture when a lot of it has to do with, like, machismo. Like, as if your president is going to wrestle the president of a neighboring country and
somebody
the winner's going
to
take over the other country. It's a weird thing. I feel like we don't... I mean, we'll take a guy in a wheelchair or a guy who goes a buck 40 wet like Obama, but... We realize we have a military. They don't have to fucking arm wrestle over who's going to win the war. I feel like there's still some countries that are kind of living in that era. Not bright.
No.
Okay.
Bro. There it is. There's the picture of that dog.
There's a dog wearing a straw hat.
This has been the most controversial all balls versus JV ever.
Mm-hmm.
You want to describe it? Or it looks
like a dachshund.
Yeah. And he's wearing, like, a little hat, straw hat.
Yeah.
He got this shirt with a collar.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, a strap to hold the hat down.
Yeah.
There's a palm tree in the background.
Not dissimilar to how DFG looks right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, this dog, well, I don't want to blow my answer, you know what I mean?
Right. And that's...
By the fact that I'm wearing the same hat as the dog.
Not since Rick Springfield's... 1982 offering working class dog. Have I seen a dog done up this way?
I mean, what could possibly be JV about this?
Well,
this has got to be.
First off, a lot of people were like, bro, that's JV. Like, that dog feels like an idiot and stuff.
You can go to adamcarolla.com if you want to look at the dog.
But this dachshund, but what finally swayed people was a very esturient comment.
A what comment?
Esturient.
Esturient?
Yeah, whatever, you know, like sharp or whatever, you know, smart.
Uh-huh. I don't think I'm quite familiar with that phrase.
The dude said, check out this dog's 1,000-yard stare.
It is a long stare.
It's all balls, bro. Look.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, sure, the collar is not popped.
Right, right. I know you'd like to see
well, it's
that.
It's a dog that's like 6 inches high, bro. And it's looking like, dude, it's like, I fucking messed you up, bro. I fucking knee-bomb your head, bro, if you even got close to me, dude. It's like, I don't give a shit about that hat.
Yeah. it's a good picture.
He's got that trench coat shit going down, too.
Yeah, it's all balls. I mean, I don't think you're going to get an argument from us.
Dude, it's like he's remembering his bros in, you know, like, you know, getting blown up by napalm and shit in Nam or whatever.
No, it's Norris-esque. He's almost Chuck Norris, like in an 80s movie.
What is he thinking?
It's like the Mona Lisa that way.
Yeah, we don't know. And I think that's what, you know, that's why this is. I think photography should be art, considered art.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because we're looking at a picture of a dog with a straw cap on, and we don't know what it's thinking, but we can all imagine.
We're all bringing something else to the discussion.
Right.
So some dudes were like, it would be all balls if he had the hat without the chin strap. Other mm-hmm. dudes were like, the chin strap's what makes it all balls.
I agree with those dudes.
I agree with that tribe of dudes as well.
I mean, yeah. In a perfect world, you know, yeah, he'd be wearing like a, you know, fluorescent tank or something.
Right. Is it – Spuds McKenzie asked. Is it true – I don't want to talk about it. I know a lot of the guys in your frat. I know Poochie and I know there was Douchebagel and Mike F and Mike Z.
Moose.
Mike L.
Mike R.
Mike McD.
Mike McD, like there was a lot of guys named Mike, and then everyone else had a nickname. I could never figure that part out, though. If you had a bunch of guys named Mike, you know, why would you have one guy named Douchebagel and, you know, another guy named Poochie? Why not give them, and then Mike L and Mike R? It seems confusing.
Mike Q.
Yeah, I'm saying we had like 9 guys named Mike, but they never had nicknames.
I know. I guess it's easier that way because, like, at one point we had like 2 Smitties.
Right. No, yeah, but I'm saying you want to give a guy named Mike a nickname, you know, so you don't have all these guys named Mike.
Yeah.
You do have a guy named Guy Dude Bro, right?
Dude, I don't know. That story's like gotten too big for me to even handle.
Because I heard there's a guy that rushed your frat named Guy Dude Bro.
Oh, Guy Dude Bro.
Oh, Dude Bro.
Yeah, he got an automatic bid.
Oh, right.
Just all right, dude. I mean, he turned into a GDI.
I don't know what
What's that
is.
Goddamn independent.
Yeah, but
we had to give him a bid because his name was Guy Dude Bro. He said it was like Duda Bro, but we're like, dude, your name's Guy Dude Bro, bro.
Yeah. So you gave him an instant bid.
Yeah, I mean, and he was a chill dude, but he was a little bit of a left winger. Mm-hmm. I mean, this dude got more pussy than a North Korean butcher, bro.
Yeah, so maybe it's good that he got the automatic bid. I'm just saying.
That's a lot of pussy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. He probably pronounced it Duda Bro because he was tired of, you know.
I don't know, man. When his parents, some people said that they called his parents and they said they pronounced it Dude Bro.
Right, then that's Dude Bro.
Yeah, it's like, what was that country we were talking about before where the Klitschko guy? It's like one of those places.
Right. All right. Do we have one more?
Yeah.
So the dog is all balls.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
I want that dog. And someone could make a killing with those hats, man.
Miniature hats?
Yeah. Dachshunds were meant to hunt badgers.
Really?
Yeah.
They burrow.
Hey, I get the burrowing part, but I burrow to hide from badgers.
They're all low to the ground and shit.
I know, but I feel like badgers are lower to the ground and have huge teeth.
Well, speaking of being high to the ground and with big teeth, what do you think about this whirlwind romance with with golfer Tiger Woods and Lindsey Vonn.
Well, yeah, that's an athletic couple there.
Bro, that's like a mongoose tagging a Tasmanian devil or something.
Yeah,
shit.
That's a lot of athleticism in the bedroom, right?
Yeah, these two, she put a hole in the wall at the hotel.
What?
Yeah, my bro told me that they were banging so hard. Sometimes I forget. Maybe I already told this story, but her head put a hole in the wall.
What?
To the plasterboard.
No way.
Yeah, that's how hard he was sticking it.
Oh, no way. Your friend, how'd your friend know that? Your friend made that up.
He said he knew a guy at the hotel and they had to like seal off all the rooms because all they did was bang. I mean, you know.
I don't think you couldn't put
Lindsay's
a hole in
it. She's got to be pretty good in bed, man. I mean, Tiger, that dude got more trimmed than than the supercuts in Glendale before Armenian Pride Day, bro.
Well, way to go a long way for that one, but you're right. Yeah, Armenian Pride Day, you'd want to definitely get well coiffed for that. It's a nice haircut.
Yeah,
you know, shave the back
there. Trim.
Yeah, a lot of trimming going on. Yeah,
there's lines for people to get trim.
Right. I got you. All right. Maybe he did. I mean, you know, when two, you know, athletes of that caliber get together and get in the same hotel, same bed, both passionate people.
She's a bigger girl.
Yeah, no.
With the legs.
She's a strong woman.
Very beautiful. And he's, we all know about him.
Yeah, no. We've heard about him.
But is it all balls or JV?
Wow. You know, let me say this very quickly. When somebody sleeps with you and you're famous, and then they come out and have a press conference about how they fucked you, if you're girl number two or three, whoever it is who's going first, whatever they mention about the size of your honker, everyone's got to get on the same honker page. Otherwise, we're going to shoot holes in your honker story. Mm-hmm. So if you go, I slept with Tiger Woods and he's pretty well, you know, you go on Howard Stern and explain how well endowed he is. You can't be girl number two and go, not so much, because now your story seems a little spurious. Like,
and your vagina seems huge.
Seems mammoth. So you just hope
that's
first
true.
Person that gets out of the gate says you have a big honker, because then everyone has to follow along.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, you don't have cock-related arguments with the whores afterward.
Mm-hmm. But, like, do you want to even be with Lindsey Vonn after this?
I didn't know about her before that. You know, is she a downhill skier?
She's hot. She's downhill. She's got two poles in each hand. Put it that way, bro.
Yeah, I mean, those poles could be you and Moose.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I never really thought about her. But now I'd be a little intimidated following Tiger and all.
They could also be, that dude Richard Sherman from the Seahawks and Crabtree.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean? I mean,
what?
What are you saying?
That what he was saying after the game to the reporter Aaron Andrews was out of line, bro.
Oh, you thought that was JV?
I don't know.
You don't know if it was all balls or JV?
What do you think? Because he was excited after the game.
Yes, he was
and
pumped
his
up.
Adrenaline was pumping. And she's like, what'd you say to him? And he's like, I told her what I said.
Right. She went to go say good game. But on the other hand, when a guy runs up to you sort of aggressively and slaps you on the ass and yells good game, I could see you pushing him away as well. Listen, these guys are running on adrenaline.
Yeah.
Give them a break.
Why didn't they have to talk to them right after the game?
First off, these guys aren't school teachers or fucking senators. They're free safeties and cornerbacks in the National Football League. I know. But who gives a fuck? We pay these guys so we can watch them do their thing. Whether it's knocking a guy out or stripping a ball, whatever it is, these guys are athletes. Who gives a fuck what their attitude's like? And by the way, they're supposed to have those kinds of attitudes. That's part of the gig. All right. Let's...
They're modern-day gladiators.
They're modern-day gladiators. That's right. All right. Joe Coy is here. Do we have an outro for the Def Rack guy?
It's coming.
Okay.
I mean, not right this second.
Okay. Dear frat guy?
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, I forgot. As did the voice of Mangria.
Mm-hmm.
I have some very...
Oh, wait a minute. You're the voice of Mangria?
No, the public face or whatever.
I don't remember talking to August about that.
Yeah, Mike August cleared it. He says...
But the voice of Mangria?
No. Public face. The persona, like the world's most interesting man.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. They want to class it up a little bit.
I understand.
Well, here's some good news if you happen to live in Waterbury, Connecticut. The Good Life Wine and Spirits is now carrying Mangria Red, White, the new
Brose.
Mm-hmm. Same with the wise old dog in West Hartford, Connecticut.
Yeah.
In the mood for a nice glass of Brose after a hard day.
Brose. Right. This is why I don't want you to be the voice of Mangria.
I know. I don't know if they say face or voice.
Okay, right. Even the face. But I'm looking for, like, you know, hot young chick.
No, they want me to announce, like, they're carrying Mangria All Products at Southington, Connecticut Wine and Spirits.
Okay.
Even the marketplace at near Wrigleyville in Chicago. I'm trying to get my bros at Capone's restaurant in Lombard, Illinois hooked up, but we don't know if that happened yet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we appreciate you. You can go to deafratguy.com.
That's why I wear the shirt every time.
Oh, you're
bro.
Wearing the Mangria shirt.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll talk to August about that. But
he's taking the spokesmodel thing seriously.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I come in like with my game face on, and the small talk kind of, you know, it rattles me a little bit.
Right. All right, DFG.
Hell yeah.
We need to take a quick break. Joe Coy
is waiting in the house.
He's in the house.
Hell yeah.
We'll bring in the great Joe Coy.
Yeah. This is for you.
Oh, a miniature funnel? Thank you. Hell yeah. For the ride home.
Simply Safe. Most home security companies trap you with high prices, tricky contracts, and lousy customer support. There's only one no-brainer. And of course, you know the answer. Simply Safe. Two eyes in there. Everything to protect your home. An arsenal of sensors and cameras for every room. And windows, doors, motion detectors, whatever, tailored specifically for your home. Professional monitoring day and night, ready to send police, fire, medical professionals, whatever you need. Set up in under an hour, peel and stick. Batteries last up to 10 years. No technicians, no pushy sales guys, no hidden fees, no fine print. Starts at just $15 a month. U.S. News and World Report named it the best overall home security of 2020. It's Simply Safe, right, Dawson?
Head to simplysafe.com/Adam and get a free HD camera for our listeners. That's simplysafe.com/Adam to make sure they know that our show sent you.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Hey, guys. I was listening to the podcast from Sunday night, and Adam was kicking around ideas for how to handle gathering funds. What you need to do is set up like a PayPal account and have a company manage the funds that come in and allow people through PayPal, you can set up monthly donations. So, yes, there's going to be people who can't afford to do $25 right up front, but there are going to be people that can afford to do $2 a week, right? If you set that up, I'll do $10 a week. Because podcasts are, I live on them. Love the show. Bye.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Yeah, we're trying to wrap our heads around this 1.25 to $1.5 million attorney tab.
Maybe it'll be less.
Maybe it'll be $975. Or maybe it'll be 1.75 that you have to pay to the attorneys if you want to fight your patent troll. And the thing that's insane about it, Joe Coy, is that I made a movie called The Hammer. Everyone sees it and goes, why was it rated R? I don't get it. What's up? That shouldn't have been rated R. And I go, yes, I know. Thank you. But every time you say it, it hurts a little more. And then people say to me all day, every day,
what are they suing you for? What do you mean? I don't get it. What piece of technology do you employ that, by the way, we were doing this podcast before they bought the patent. So it's not like we stole it away from them, but there's, you know, 250,000 podcasts that are on iTunes alone and probably millions worldwide. And by the way, if you can stop somebody from recording their voice and then putting it up on the internet, my God, I think YouTube's going next. I don't know where this ends.
It's a very, well, as you love to say, it's a slippery slope.
It is. Not in front of Joe.
Oh, sorry.
Either way, we live in a fucking world where you either pay somebody their $3 million that they're asking, which is out of the fucking question and impossible, or you have to then fight them with lawyers that cost over $1 million. So you can either be, you know, fist fucked with a handful of hot glass or just fist fucked.
Yeah.
That's basically what it is.
How do you want it?
I'll take just the basic fist fucking.
You
with
sure
the
you
lawyers.
Don't want me to dip my fist in glue and broken glass?
I want you to dip it in Jergens infused with cocaine. That I could go for.
And we can do that for you, sir.
Right. And all anyone ever does is go, oh, man, that's got a fucking smart. And I go, yes, yes, it does. But we have no choice but to fight. So we shall fight these folks. It's already cost $50,000 to just try to get it moved out of bumfuck Texas. The venue moved. Seeing how we don't work out of Texas and they don't work out of Texas either. They're all New York. They just have a storefront in Texas because it's better for them to do their fighting in Texas. But that's number one. So, I mean, it'll probably be $150,000 just arguing over where the fucking venue is. You start realizing these motherfucking lawyers, whether it's this kind of shit or any kind of legal shit or divorce or whatever, it's all, they all just end up at the same fucking golf club laughing their asses off.
You know what I hate is when you pay that money and you never really see the guy until like actual court.
Oh.
And it's like, if I'm going to pay this much money, I want to see you every fucking time. Don't send me
just
your
don't
assistant.
Pay him.
Don't say, yeah.
Yeah.
And you'll see him.
Yeah. No, I know. You went through a custody thing, right?
Yeah. And it was like, I never saw the lawyer. And it's like, right before we went into the courtroom, he was like, all right, so where are we? I'm like, motherfucker. What right. do you mean, where are we? What, you're supposed to know this shit.
Well, that's the other thing, too.
You asked for all the money, didn't you?
I don't. As far as the billable hours, it's a great thing because it's like, it's not like we have a venue change. It's just we owe him $50,000. So it's like a guy going, yeah, I've been thinking a lot about putting a roof on your place. That'll be 10 grand. And then I worked pretty hard. Again, I talked to some other roofers about your place and the roof I may or may not put on there one day. But anyway, that'll be $12,500. And at a certain point, you're 50 grand into the roof job and you go, there's no ladders, there's no flatbed trucks, there's no roofing material, nothing's happened. And the guy goes, yeah, but we're 50 grand closer to possibly getting your roof on. And you're like, yeah, but there's nothing. We don't have anything. And by the way, if you stop today, you'd never get a roof. And the other part is, when we're about 150 grand in, you may or now, first off, you may or may not get a roof. I'm never going to promise you a new roof. You may not get a roof. It's the greatest profession in the fucking world, yeah, right?
It's like what you say about vets.
Yeah. Like, yeah, your border collie may not make it. But anyway, that'll be $5,500. Really? So it's just if it doesn't make it, it's 55. And if it does make it, it's 55. And it's in a coma, it's 55. Like, this is the greatest gift you could ever give to yourself in terms of employment, which is, you're 50 grand in, you got no roof, but we've been talking about it. But keep your fingers crossed. Maybe we'll get a new roof. So we're going to figure out a way to do a little crowdfunding and see if we can fight these guys off. And hopefully we'll get a lot of other podcasters to join us because
well, I'm throwing 10 bucks in for sure.
Yeah. I can't imagine them not going after everybody. First off, they're not doing it because they had a legitimate technological invention and were ripped off. They buy these patents and then they go cash them in any way they can. They're in the business of taking money from other businesses.
Yeah.
So it's not like they would beat us and then go, all right, cool your jets, everybody. We got Corolla's money. Now let's just hang. Let's just keep it quiet. Let's just hang tight for a couple of years. No, if they beat us, they're going after everyone who does a podcast immediately. And I don't know what chance they're going to have if we fall.
Exactly.
So we'll rally the troops. We'll keep you posted. Joe, by the way, Comedy Works in Denver. Love that place. Wait, is Comedy Works down in the basement? Or is that the one that's in the massive mall where Mike August stole the toilet paper from the luxury condo they put us up in?
It's that one.
That's a nice place.
He didn't steal the paper, did he?
They made the mistake of putting us up in the condo.
Yeah.
They have like a nice condo.
Yeah.
If you're going to do the show Thursday and the two shows Friday and the two shows Saturday, they put you up in a
nice-looking
condo. It's nice. Got a gym down there and high ceilings and everything. He stole all the toilet paper from his room.
Funny. You know when I went to the Christmas party, Mike filled his pockets up with like treats, like a fucking brownie treat and a goddamn cookie. I'm like, really?
Yeah, you went to our Christmas
party. No, but
that was
the beginning. It was the beginning of the party. It wasn't like towards the end where everyone's leaving.
You wanted to grab it before everyone else took it.
You saw him. You saw him too, Allison. He was standing right by the dessert.
I didn't.
He was standing by the desserts.
Yeah.
And I'm just, you know how you just kind of eye Mike, and I'm looking at Mike, had one dessert and then kind of just slipped the other one in the pocket.
He had, when we were...
For later treat.
We just got back from Seattle. Was doing a Mangria signing and doing like this corporate thing. And on the way to the Mangria signing, we're about 45 minutes early. And the guy said, who was driving us, said, that place Dick's Burgers down there, that's famous. They make great burgers. You know, they're kind of like In-N-Out, get a double-double or the equivalent to. And we said, oh, all right. So we went over there and we got a Dick's Burger, which pretty much Bob's Big Boy-esque. And we ate the Dick's Burger. And then about 40 minutes later, we're in line. And a guy handed Mike a card that he made with a Sharpie that talked about a place that had great pulled pork sandwiches. And Mike got the card and was like, oh, okay. And started calling the place, ordering huge pulled pork sandwiches. Like it was like some sort of mandate that he had to go. We just ate.
It was like he was Ethan Hunt in Mission Impossible. He was like, all right.
We just
call the place.
We just eaten and he was calling. And so 90 minutes later, we were parked out front of this pulled pork place. Now, I got up at 5:45. We flew to Seattle. I did my Mangria signing. I already ate the double-double burger, and now I'm going to the gig at the airport where I'm doing the corporate event, and Mike's throwing around the pulled pork and the sandwich. I just want to get in a fetal position and sleep in the back of this guy's SUV. I'd already been up for 11 hours. But, yeah, literally somebody just said, here's a place that has
pulled pork. He's ordering the pulled pork while he's eating the Dick's burger.
Yeah, he's probably just wiping his mouth from some of the Thousand Island from the Dick's Burger.
How does he not gain weight?
That's what I was going to say.
I don't know. He doesn't sleep. And then when he does sleep, he sleeps hanging upside down. So he gets a lot more blood flow.
My God, what's he going to do in Vegas?
Plus.
Eat? Buffets?
Let me tell you something. 90 pounds of toilet paper weighs just as much as 90 pounds of granite. Meaning when you fill your duffel bag with that much toilet paper, it takes some upper body and lower body to drag that shit through. And those, you know, Chex Mix in your pockets, you know.
It's like he's adding
friction.
Freeways, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been to his house? And just, is there a stash room?
Toilet paper everywhere.
Just no, it's a stash room of shit he stole. It's like bath soaps from the Hilton.
Shower caps.
Yeah. Peanuts from Southwest.
Well, you know.
Miniature Cokes.
From doing the Comedy Works at Denver, they put you up in that condo.
Yeah.
And I guess in condos, they trust the people that stay there.
Oh, yeah.
Not when you go to a hotel, they bring you the toilet paper, you know, by the piece practically. But this, they stashed it in the closet.
Yeah.
Mike sniffed it out.
Ugh.
Cleaned the place out.
Found it.
Cooler Shock reusable premium ice pack, colder than ice by 14 degrees. That's right. Seems almost impossible, but it's just science. And it's cleaner. No bacteria-laden water left in your cooler, and especially when you forget about it after you go fishing or camping or something. It's all that scuba and that pond moss down there. Made in the U.S. of A. Average 4.7 stars on Amazon. Over 6,800, almost 7,000 reviews. Ready in your freezer when you need it. Avoid trips to the store during quarantine. And that weird ice in the bag always has some leftover, freezes up, you throw it, it's a mess. They have a variety of soft and hard packs, even a 16-pound pack with a built-in thermometer for the big stuff. Fishing, camping, hunting, long road trips, even the farmer's market, it's just the best. I use them. It's so much better than just busting open the ice because the ice melts and it turns to water. Anyway, for best pricing, go to coolershock.com. Use the coupon code ADAM. Get 10% off your order plus free shipping. Or you could just pick it up at Amazon. Coolershock.com. Promo code ADAM.
That was some JV or All Balls back in 2014, courtesy of Deaf Frat Guy. All right, before we get going with this next clip, I want to remind everybody that Adam will be at the Tempe Improv this month, September 18th and 19th, for some live podcasts, and Adam Kroll is unprepared / stand-up. So check out the website, adamkroll.com, for tickets and more info. And I know that on the 19th, the Saturday show for the live podcast, Rob Schneider will be guesting on stage. All right, let's get going with the next interview. This is Adam's interview with God.
Yeah, Adam Carolla Show 1173. The guests were Lee Lunan, Peter Pardini, the Tweet of God, David Wilde, Allison Rose, and Brian Bishop. This portion is with David Wilde, and the Tweet of God creator is also David. Adam's interviewing him in character as God. This is recorded in September of 2013. Check it out.
David Wilde, good to see you, my friend.
Good to see you, sir.
Allison Rosen, good to see you.
Hello, Adam Carolla.
Bald Brian.
I absolutely love to suck cock.
Many people, including Francisco Murphy on Twitter, wanted to hear that. Hashtag top drop.
Wait, who was that? Oh, that was...
I absolutely love to suck
cock.
No!
Oh, sorry.
I absolutely love to suck cock.
You're way
Mick
off.
Foley.
Another wrestler from the 80s.
Sorry.
David Jabberbaum is here. He has brought his friend God. Good to see you, David.
Good to see you.
The Tweet of God is the name of the Twitter that's taking over the nation, baby. Over 1 million followers. The book, The Last Testament, a memoir... by God. And David, now David, did you work with David on the the Emmys?
Yeah, I worked with David Wilde on the Emmys this weekend, and we got to talking. I told him I was working or had worked with God on his last book, just doing some punch up on the jokes, and David found that interesting, and he thought maybe you'd find it interesting.
Figured I've dropped big names, but if I could get not only DJ, who is in his own right one of the funniest, greatest writers in America, he's won 5,000 Emmys. Is that the current total?
I've done okay.
Yeah, he's done okay, and he is, you know. But I figured if I could name drop and bring God into the show, mm-hmm.
Sure.
There would be two guys who think they're God in the
studio.
Well,
we'll bring him up in a second. DJ, can I call you DJ?
Absolutely.
Brag a little about yourself to our listeners. Accomplishments, shows you've worked on, things like that.
I spent 11 years at The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. I was a writer, and then I became head writer, then I became EP. And I was there – I got there shortly after Jon got there, and I was there for, you know, the whole run, which being inside the bubble, we didn't really know much about. We were just too busy making the show, but we were very successful, and it was a great time. And Jon is an amazing boss.
Did they win 10 years in a row in that
They won
category?
10 years in a row in the category of Best Variety Show until this weekend when sort of the next generation Colbert won.
Right. Now it makes you wonder, is he going to go 10 years in a row or
is he going
to go back and forth?
It's entirely possible. It's a shame. I mean, there's so – like every – that category is so stacked. Like every show is really genuinely really good.
Yeah. And it's crazy that they do so many, you know, they do daily shows, but they just submit one episode, which I always sort of forget about, which in a way isn't fair.
That's true for all the categories. They always have to submit one at like best directing, you know, when really it's sort of a general feeling of the entire season what it should be. That was always a dilemma for us. What show do we submit? Because there's no one show representative of the entire year.
Obviously you can pick what you think is your strongest and put your best foot forward, but it's really... the fact that you're churning out that kind of comedy on a, pardon the pun, daily basis, that's the tall order. You know, that's the part that makes Saturday Night Live tough, is that you're doing sketch comedy every single week.
Right.
Versus when you go to Groundlings, you put a show together every 6 months, or Second City or something like that, and you work these. You work these sketches and you find moments and you sort of treat it like a gin rummy hand. You toss out the stuff you don't need. You keep the stuff that's working. And after about 6 months, these things really start to take shape. But if you just did it once, threw it out, did it once, threw it out again, sort of like having sex with the same drunk person just once.
Right.
And then moving on to another drunk person, how good would it ever really – how would your chemistry and your flow – I mean, it'd be awesome. It'd be an awesome
so –
wait
awesome.
A minute. You know what? That's a horrible example. It'd be the fucking greatest
pretty,
life ever.
Pretty awesome, actually.
New drunk chick every single weekend. No, but the – you
You're
got,
drunk, too.
Yeah, I'm drunk.
Yeah.
I'm more – I just fucking booted in her cooch. Point is this. You just would never be as good as you would be if you had a couple of reps, like a new quarterback with a new receiving core, something like that. That's what I mean.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's an ongoing thing. It was like, you know, it's an assembly line, but the quality of the show is a tribute to the quality of the process of making the show. And that really evolved over time. And John was instrumental in sort of shaping the day so that, you know, it's at this point, it's a very well-oiled machine. And
yeah.
John Oliver stepped in for the summer, and that demonstrates the show is still fantastic
mm-hmm.
with a different host because of the machinery of the show that John has really helped shape behind the scenes for the last over a decade.
The hardest part is starting a show, and it's the part that's most scrutinized, and it's the part where it's like you're setting up a factory and you got your loading dock and your shipping and your receiving and your conveyor belt, but everyone's trying to kind of figure out, where do we put the pallet jacks, where do we put the merchandise, where do we put the conveyor belt? Where should the UPS truck pull up? And it takes a good 2 years to get everything lined up. But it's during that first month when all the network cunts and assholes are standing around just tapping their toes with their arms folded going, what's going on? My package didn't arrive. And you're like, it's the last thing you need. Really what you need at that point is everyone just to clear out and let you get your factory up and running.
I can speak to that because I'm doing that right now. I'm starting a new show. It's going to launch in a month on a new network called Fusion. And I can't discuss it too much, but I can tell you that literally today I spent half an hour pondering the board where you put the index cards of material and just saying, I think I want a tape line there and a tape line there. And we'll divide those in, like just thinking about like how I wanted the board to look. And
yeah.
That's like, you know, it's so important psychologically and yet so superficially stupid to
but no,
focus
no,
on.
But nobody understands that in season 4, season 10, when you have all your bits – it becomes about filling out the board, but you're filling it out with stuff that you know or that you've done.
Yeah.
It's like a morning radio show. You have your blah, blah, blogs and your Baldywoods.
Yep. The great, great, great
the
bits.
Great,
the legendary, the franchise.
The franchise bits, right.
The ones you submit for awards.
When you just start the first week, it's like, I don't know, what do you want to do? I don't know. So you guys just got back from the Emmys, right?
Well, it didn't take us 4 days to get back.
No.
Yeah. How'd it go? How did it feel? How was it backstage? What was the vibe? What was going on?
I think it was really fun. I mean, I was, you know, just hanging out with other comedy writers and shooting the shit as we want to do is just, you know, I love that.
Adam knows it well. In fact, you did Emmys last year, right, with Jimmy?
Yeah, I didn't do anything. I just sat in the writer's tent or whatever. There's a sort of a little – they hang duvetyn in a box and you have a monitor and you just stand there and see how the bits went.
Right.
And then you try to write little in between jokes, but they never use them. And so you end up really doing nothing. I did it once. This is how I knew Dick Clark was losing it, which is I was standing in that same little duvetyn tent. Good name for ASV, by the way. And you're just sitting there watching the monitors, like right off stage. You got to be as close to stage as possible because that's kind of where the talent or the person that's hosting the show, that's where they stage up, so to speak. They wait there, then they go back on, and you go, oh, say this or do that. And I was just standing there in the tent, and the duvetyn tent. I think Jimmy was hosting the, I don't know, American Music Awards or one of those. And Dick Clark threw the tent curtains open, and he looked at me, and he said, Jimmy, get out there. I said, I was wearing, like, you know, flip-flops. I was like, I'll go out there, but I'm not Jimmy. And that's when I knew maybe the man had lost his fastball at that point.
He's hosting in heaven now.
Yes, that's right. He's doing a wonderful job hosting in heaven. and he'll be missed by immediate family. All right, David, also David Wild. So yeah, I thought the Emmys were good. I my question a little bit as far if I could critique it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Everyone else has
what I was saying, and I haven't read any reviews. Yeah. I haven't heard anything about how it went, but
35% up. That's the bottom line.
The really the ratings.
Huge.
Huge ratings.
Biggest success since 2005 or something. Yeah. Yeah.
Up 35% from last year?
Yes.
Oh, shit. I mean, good for you. But, yeah. You know, Jimmy. Yes. Thinking about Jimmy. I thought the opening was going to be some big splashy number. And that's kind of what I was looking forward to. I didn't get that. I thought the beginning was funny. But I wanted Billy Crystal on a horse.
Neil deliberately decided not to do that because he had done that at the Tonys this year, which are not nearly as well watched as the Emmys, obviously. But he did this incredible, huge, spectacular opening number. And he had decided that like he thought it would be too predictable to do that at the top of the show. Too predictable and also too maybe redundant. So mm-hmm. he wanted to take it a different direction.
Uh-huh. So he's like, I don't want to give them what they want twice.
Well, he gave it to him in the middle of the show with yes. a song, a brilliant song.
That was a funny
song. The number
song.
In the middle of the show.
Yes. Yeah. And I agree. I also, just because it's the way I'm wired, is I secretly just think he's being lazy. All right. Now, we're told you know God well, and you brought him in personally. Is that true, David? DJ, should I say?
Yes. I am Lord thy God. King of the universe, great to be here.
Hey, good to have you, guys. Sorry about the whole atheist thing, but, you know, I'm back.
Verily.
Uh-huh. Should the reverb be on my mic as well? No. Okay. All right. Well, maybe, listen.
Is this a mirth to you? This is not a mirth.
No. No. I this is not mirthful at all. I thought there'd be much more mirth involved. This is minus mirth. But I appreciate you swinging by the studio. Good to see you. Jesus Christ.
Always a pleasure.
For guys millions of years old, you really.
Thanks. Always a pleasure. First, long time, first time.
You and Madonna, you don't age, man. I got to tell you right now.
I just turned infinity.
Wow. Yeah. I'd love to see that fucking cake.
A lot of candles.
Oh, man. You have to whip up just a gale force winds to put that baby out, huh?
That's when the omnipotence really comes in handy, Adam.
Yeah.
You know, I think this is a good promotional opportunity for you that I believe God just had some mangria for the first time.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What do you think?
I think I created man, but Adam Carolla created mangria.
That's good. I like it.
Yeah. Mangria. Yum.
I've always called it nectar of the god. Not gods, just the god, the one god, you who I had in mind.
Adam, I see everything. I know that's bullshit.
Oh, wow. Wow, you allowed to use that kind of language?
Again, God.
Right. It's past. You could do. You're almost like Frank Sinatra.
I don't have that big an ego, but I'm pretty
right.
big, yes.
Mm-hmm. What's going on in the Middle East?
Crazy, isn't it? Crazy, crazy stuff.
No, I know. What do you think? Should we go? Should we fire up the drones?
You know, if I could do it again, Adam, I wouldn't have a Middle East. I'd have a Europe, and there'd be an Asia, and an Africa, and then some sort of big vortex.
Yeah, why that weird dog run in the middle there?
I don't know.
Yeah. No, that's, I mean, obviously, hindsight, you know, Godsight 2020.
But if you walk around the Middle East and you walk around the sand, you see why everybody wants it. It's just so beautiful, all those endless dunes and the lovely heat. It's just a great place to be.
No, I agree. It's really like the world's worst golf course if you think about it. But the drones, in a weird way, that's it's a little hellfire from above. Do you know what I mean? Do you feel like in a way you're kind of being ripped off by those predator drones? I mean, that's kind of your job to hover around up top and take care of the evildoers.
Three words, you know? Adam: Sodom and Gomorrah. You'll recall the fire, the brimstone out of nowhere raining down from the sky. I think it's a copyright infringement. I'm glad you agree. I feel like it's very similar. What am I going to do? I'm just one god.
Yeah, and I feel like all the good attorneys are in hell. So
yes,
you're never going to get any kind of representation in heaven.
The plus side is all good attorneys are also my chosen people. So I'm
right.
Yeah. So, Middle East, what should we do? Should we get in there and send the Marines in and let you sort them out? I never really thought about that.
Without giving too much away, I would just say let it ride for another 8 months, 2 weeks, 3 days, 22 hours, and 12 minutes. And then all will be revealed.
Oh, you mean something big's coming?
Again, no spoilers, but something.
Ooh. Interesting. Couple of questions. Why did everyone love that fucking movie Drive so much? That thing was such a piece of shit. Again, I don't want to use profanity in front of you.
Drive.
But
obviously, I'm omniscient, but remind me.
Ryan Gosling.
Ryan Gosling.
Oh, yes. Bad career move for Ryan. Love Ryan, by the way. He's one of my beautiful
40 minutes of him fumbling around with a toothpick and not saying anything and pouting.
Yeah, but while we're on the subject, if you're going to remake The Getaway, which I know you're a big fan of Cars, I mean, what a horrendous piece of excrement that remake was.
No, I concur. I'm just saying, the thing was sitting at about 90, 95 with the top critics over at Rotten Tomatoes. It just seems like the work of the
Drive
devil.
Was?
Yeah. That was my reaction. It was. I don't know if it's come down to earth, pardon the pun, a little bit.
Adam,
but
what some of your other big questions, like John Mayer?
No, that's
douchebag?
About a bigger question than you can get.
Yeah, no, the Drive's pretty big. But yeah, John Mayer, douchebag or not? That these are some of the first questions I was going to get into with you.
No, I'm glad you went to the big stuff right away.
Yeah.
John Mayer, douchebag or not? Long answer, no person can be reduced to one label. I've made all human beings to be very complex creatures that have many layers of interdependent traits. Mm-hmm. Short answer, yes, totally.
Oh, okay,
totally.
All right, good. I knew it. Yeah. I knew it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way that's the way I always felt.
What are you whining about? You know, you have Katy Perry, you have every chick in the world, and you're still writing these songs about how miserable your life is. Grow up.
Yeah, no, I agree, but listen, God, I didn't come here to argue with you, but I do want to say this. God may need a little freshening up on his Mangria.
Yeah, again, loving the Mangria.
Thank you.
And I know you're here to promote me, but I just have to do you a solid and tell you this is some excellent, excellent liquor.
Look, I don't feel like, maybe other than, like, I don't know, LeBron James, I don't feel like I could get a better endorsement for this product. And again, nothing against you, but he's a guy who's universally loved. There's always a little dispute with you. You know what I mean?
Polarizing.
Can you turn water into Mangria? Or
that would be awesome. You know what kind of cost you could save me if you could just turn tap water into Mangria?
You're thinking about Junior. I don't do that kind of stuff. I prefer working in mysterious ways, and that's only even when I bother to work at all, which is often these days, not as much as I used to.
Yeah, what is your schedule?
I like to wake up around 9:30 usually. Try to take in an 18, a quick 18. I love golf. I've taken up golf lately. And one of my favorite things in the world is just when you're on the course and you just, you have a lot of bad shots, you have a lot of bad moments on a golf course. But when you're on the course and you just send that perfect lightning bolt down to strike the golfer ahead of you and kill him. That one moment makes the whole thing worthwhile. You know, it's just that one moment. You forget about all the bad stuff, the bad shots. You just remember the smell of the burning flesh of the man. And it's just wonderful.
Do you ever have a situation where you're like out there with Abe Lincoln and Anne Frank or somebody like that?
You're making some assumptions about Abe Lincoln.
No. Really, Anne Frank?
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying
I'm making assumptions.
Don't presume to know what's going to happen.
Yeah, no. I understood. But I'm just saying let's say you're just out there with somebody.
Sure.
Is there ever a situation where you guys get back into the cart? I don't know if you use a cart to get around when you play golf in heaven. But you get back in a cart and you're marking down a five, and Abe leans over and goes, five. I said that. First off, it was a three putt, and it took you three to get onto the green. Is anyone ever question you that way?
Well, Abe does. He's called Honest Abe, and he is very honest about that kind of thing. I do get questions sometimes, and I laugh it off the first time, and then the second time, and then the third time. I have to actually send them to hell. At least temporarily.
Yeah, because I didn't know about that. You can. I mean, what I'm saying is can you change your mind?
Yeah.
Can you just St. Peter's gate swing both ways? I don't mean that in a sexual way.
Right.
You know what I mean? That sounds like I was talking about St. Peter and his proclivities.
But St. Peter's a great, he's the best doorman you could possibly have. He's just really good. I make sure I tip him very generously.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, can you, I never really thought about this, but can you get into heaven? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they say, like, look, all right, look, you're a 12-year-old kid. You're riding around on your Schwinn. You get clipped by a gardening truck or something. You're going to heaven. You wouldn't go to hell at that point. You've not done anything wrong. Now you go up to heaven and puberty kicks in. Mm-hmm. Turns out you're a little snot-nosed shit. You run around, you know, smashing mailboxes with a baseball bat, getting into trouble, TPing
right.
God's house or something right. like that. And then, you know, hit the hatch
it
at a certain
happen.
Point.
It does happen. The only rule we have in heaven is no roughhousing.
Oh, really?
That's the only rule we have. And it's a vague rule because uh-huh. I want some leeway to make a subjective decision.
So is there a lot of take it outside?
Yes, although substitute hell for outside.
Oh, okay. Take it to
and
hell?
And then you get a sense of what's going on.
Right, right. I like the horseplay, too. Oh, by the way, I got to say, I was driving around and I passed a house in my neighborhood that had been TP'd. And my wife.
Oh, like
toilet
yesterday,
paper.
Today.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And my wife said, oh, that's sad. And I said, sad. I think it's kind of cool. And she said, what? I said, it's quaint.
Yeah.
Like now everyone is you know. Everyone is just like, I don't know, smearing feces on front doors, or they're taking videos of people twerking and throwing them up and writing horrible things about them. The TPing, it seems very Back to the Future
it's
to me.
It's delightfully like, harmless.
Yeah.
Okay, this is good to know, because as a solid to you, I was going to smite them and send them to hell. On
No, don't smite.
If you're cool, forget it. If you're cool with them, then I'll let the boys know.
Adam, you're far too humble to make note of this, but when I met God with David at the Emmys, because God is at all award shows because he's thanked so often.
But it's hard because they don't like me in Hollywood, and they really don't like me.
Never thought about that.
No, it's hard. It's hard. And you'd think with half the people being, you know, my people, like you'd think I would be able to get into these things, but it's not easy in Hollywood.
I feel ironically you probably get thanked the most at the BET Awards, right?
I do. The Grammys. The Grammys are where I really get a lot of thanks. People give me shout-outs. And I always think if I were at the Grammys, if I wanted a Grammy, I would thank Kanye.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like the Independent Spirit Awards. Yeah, that's probably. That's where you don't get not a lot of tips of the cap at the Spirit Awards.
No,
there,
a lot
right?
of tips of the cap to Wim Friggin' Wenders.
Right, but not you. Yeah.
But the big thing at the Emmys backstage when I met God, he said, first thing he said was, Adam Carolla, big fan.
Wow.
It's like I think a lot of people have wondered.
Final,
you don't have to wait for the reckoning.
Uh-huh.
We know now that God
explains
a
lot.
Right.
I knew it.
Yeah.
I knew I was special.
Big fan of it. I go back with you to the man show.
I had the
original man show, just one man.
Right, man.
But I know how hard it can be. So I think you were great. Love Dr. Drew. Big fan of Dr. Drew. Love hearing him help problems of celebrities.
God, being pee-whipped, good or bad in your eyes? As I feel like one could make an argument for it, but I could make an argument against it. You know what I'm saying? And Drew's pretty pee-whipped.
Oh, I mean, I don't know his wife, except in the sense of knowing everybody. But I don't know
his wife
personally. Is that the case for him?
Well, let's put it. I'll put it to you this way, and you know, and when I try to explain to people just how pussy-whipped Dr. Drew is, he graduated and med school, but USC. His wife went to UCLA. And every year when UCLA plays, I don't know how much you follow college football.
I can talk about sports all show.
Oh, okay, okay. I don't know if you have a team.
I do. New York Giants, Oakland Raiders.
Whoa! That seems weird that you would pick a team that way.
No. I root for the New York. I root for individual teams and root against others. I never, ever affect the outcome of a sporting event to determine the winner.
Not even the Holy Roller with the Raiders.
That was because I only occasionally, on rare occasions, will affect the outcome of a sporting event to affect the spread.
Oh.
Never the outcome.
Right. Never the outcome. But
cover,
you will,
to cover,
you will
a spread.
Cover a spread.
I don't play dice with the universe, but I do occasionally gamble on football.
Right, right. So there was the immaculate reception and then the holy roller. That's
explains
of course,
a lot now.
But they changed the rule after the holy roller because it was I was clearly meant to be a forward.
It was a
pass
forward fumble.
In the in the sense of, I mean, it's
Van Egan kicked that ball all the way down the field. But okay, let's not get it.
But then the sea of hands. I mean, that was a miracle. That was a legitimate miracle.
Absolutely, because that guy never caught a ball all year. But all right, anyway. Enough Raiders history for a second. Dr. Drew, here's how pussy whipped he is. He goes to the game. He has to sit in the UCLA side, and he has to cheer for UCLA as well. And he does. He went to USC. USC-UCLA, that's one of the biggest rivalries in college sports. And nobody, I mean Brian.
No, it sickens me.
It does, really?
It's very upsetting.
This is worse than chemo, right?
If he... He lives in Pasadena by the Rose Bowl. If he had chosen UCLA just based on no history, but he actually attended one of the schools for a number of years and now roots for the other school.
Because of his wife.
Yes. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, the pee-whipped part. You see what I'm saying? Mm. Hey, God, can you help me out? I got to do a live read.
Oh, sure.
And, you know, I'd really like, you know, I feel like, you know, I'm fairly well respected, but you have, you know, the gravitas of, you
what
know,
is
creating
the what is the product?
Carbonite.
Love Carbonite.
Yeah, it's backup. it backs up your files on your computer.
Great. Love Carbonite. I don't see, now that's a, I don't need, I have to have an infinite memory. And
right,
infinite
right. Yeah, obviously.
So that's not a product where I would say, like, I need that.
No, your file is never filled, so to speak.
But you're the only one that doesn't need it.
Yeah, everyone else needs backup.
I'm one of the rare conscious entities who wouldn't need it. That's correct.
Right, right. This is all, by the way, in the copy here.
Yes.
Yeah, this one maybe God can help me out with.
Do you want me to do say Carbonite in a really God way?
Well, first off, I'm curious about this. You can start your free trial now at Carbonite.com. Use the offer code ACE and get 2 free bonus months. But I can never figure out if they add 2 more months on to the year or just comes around again. You know, I mean, if they're made up new months or they're just 12 months and you get the 2 more that begin the next calendar year.
You're saying that company, that private company, added two months to the actual year.
I got to get on the phone with them. I'm not sure how they're doing. But either way, you get 2 free bonus months if you decide to buy. No credit card required. That's Carbonite.com. Offer code ACE. Yeah, say something good about Carbonite. You know, say it in a voice that, you know, would make people really tend to want to go out and get themselves involved with Carbonite.
Carbonite.
Oh, that was good.
Right,
man.
You just cut and paste that, Adam, and just use that in like other clips, yeah. Obviously.
You could do go forth in Carbonite.
Are you worried, you know, about endorsing things? Like, you know how a lot of celebrities will do commercials, but they'll do them in Japan or Europe so we don't see them over here? You know what I mean? Like
worried about conflicts.
Yeah, right. George Clooney will do a commercial, but he'll do it over in Japan, get his $7 million, come back, but he won't have to worry about his American audience. You know what I'm saying?
I've reached a point in my career, Adam, where I don't worry much about that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I just, you know, God's just going to do what God's going to do. You know, mm-hmm. God does his own God thing.
One day at a time, huh?
You know that God tweets.
Oh, yeah. That's what I've heard about.
That tweet of God.
The tweet of God.
The immediate occasion that brings me here is a book promotion that is tied into the fact that the Twitter account has just hit 1 million followers.
Unbelievable.
So that's as many followers as are in certain sects of the Southern Methodist Synod. So I have more followers in that regard. I'm certainly way past the Amish.
Yeah, yeah. No, you are. But and look, I don't want to, you know, obviously you're celebrating this, but... Considering all your subjects,
right?
You know, sometimes you hear about a celebrity and you go, this guy's, you know, some band or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's like when Hanson came in here and they're like, God, this guy's sold 20 million albums. And then you go, how many Twitter followers? Oh, we have 51,000. And you think to yourself, there's an unborn Kardashian that has 100,000. Listen, no disrespect.
No, I know
just
what you're saying.
For the amount of subjects that you have roaming around the earth with Twitter accounts, I just, you know, millions nice. That's impressive.
I just decided that this time I wanted to really build it by word of mouth rather than forcing people. Because word of mouth, when you get that kind of endorsement, it's really solid. It's not going to erode. It's not going to be a flash in the pan thing. Mm-hmm. I've had experiences in the past where I've tried to start religions, and there have been all kinds of problems and holocausts and this and that.
Understood.
So this time I'm trying to avoid that situation.
Can you get David Wilde passed Rick Springfielder. Is that the kind of stuff you'd bother with?
I believe the tweet of God is the only one that could do this. I should explain. When I first started coming in here, I arbitrarily noticed that I had the same number as, or 100 behind Rick Astley. And I asked the listeners of the Adam Carolla Show, the best listeners on earth, to get me past Rick Astley. Then I looked for who can I go after next to Rickroll, as it were. And it turned out Rick Perry at that point had like 2 million. So I looked at Rick Springfield, who was only like 15,000. I've been trying to get past Rick Springfield ever since because I love him, and yet he owes me some money.
Really?
I think you know what happened.
I know. And that was unfortunate. But, you know, he has a side of the story, too. I was there. You both have a point.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think the tweet of God is the only one who could get me past.
Sorry, big question. What the fuck? Sorry again with the language, God. But
no, it's what the fornicate would be better for me. But
what the fornicate is going on with passion fruit? It didn't exist. I never heard of it. And then once in a while, it was at crappy restaurants and their tea. And now people tweet me passion fruit soap, deodorant, beers. What's going on? I don't know if you had a hand in this. It doesn't feel natural. It feels unnecessary. It feels like maybe you're pushing it along a little bit. I don't know if you had an agenda. I don't want to put words in your mouth. But passion fruit went from what's a passion fruit to I need it removed from my fucking life. Like, it has now been injected into almost everything that's on a shelf at a supermarket.
It's nearly as omnipresent as you yourself.
For me, that's kale. Your passion fruit is my kale. I feel the same way about kale. Passion fruit. It's one of my top two fruits that I created.
Really?
Right up there with the durian, which is the one that smells like shit but tastes delicious.
Really?
I do regret the name of passion fruit because it sets up an expectation that's rarely fulfilled. It does not actually inspire. It's not like the Viagra produce.
Understood. And the Rainier cherries, that, by the way, just do that move. Why don't you do something right near for the Rainier cherries? What you got? Take your right arm out for a second. Just
sure.
Extend it. Just go ahead and bring it back and pat yourself on the back. Just pat yourself. Just go ahead. Just pat yourself right on the back for that Rainier cherry. That's the cherry. Okay. I know you have a lot of fruit.
And I don't have a physical presence. But
but you know what I'm saying. Okay. Symbolically. Put the arm out and just stick it right and just pat yourself right on the back for that big plump. It's got some yellow in it. It's red and yellow. I mean, it is just goddamn. Sorry. But it's unbelievable.
While we're on the topic, maraschinos, that's none of mine.
That's not you?
No, that's ungodly. Crap.
That's weird.
That's not a fruit.
No.
That's a candy posing as a fruit.
You know what? I feel like there's more of a 70s sexuality wrapped up in that fruit than there is an actual taste.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
It's all about like putting the cherry in and having the lipstick around and then you pull the cherry off the stem and ooh, I'm so aroused now.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Or the chick puts the stem in her mouth, ties it in a knot with her tongue and spits it right back onto your face. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. No,
I don't need to hear, excessive detail about your
genitals. Understood.
And I know I've seen your genitals. I know what you're working with.
Oh, really?
I know all things, actually, so I don't really need. Yeah,
you don't have to say you know what I'm saying to him.
Right.
Correct.
With a capital
I know what
H.
You're saying. I don't care, but I know.
I agree. But I do agree that the maraschino cherry is weak. It's sort of the devil's work. It's fun. Look, I'm not here to defend the maraschino cherry, but in a Shirley Temple.
But where are you with the weird green maraschino cherry that existed only for about a decade?
The green maraschino cherry's up there with the blue cotton candy. What the F? I mean, was somebody eating cotton candy going, well, we got
it's
an issue
enough.
Here? Half of cotton candy's appeal is just the fact that it's pink. And it's actually, when people go like, what color is that Cadillac? It's a cotton candy pink Cadillac Elvis gave to his wife or something. You know, the color of cotton candy. Now, why? In the green, that's the worst color ever.
Yeah.
Now, the only two things at the bar that's, you got the pickled eggs. The thing that just sat in the big jar of its own brine. And now the green, that's the only thing that gave the eggs a run for their money in the I don't want this department.
The great thing about cotton candy is it's great that they can make a children's sweet out of a fabric. I think that's a wonderful thing.
It really does taste like
that. It speaks
to
man's ingenuity and, by extension, my own.
Who is the cousin of button candy?
Yeah.
Which is awful.
Yeah. God, did you have anything to do with that button candy, the stuff that comes on the paper and it's rock hard?
You eat paper.
No, I delegate most of the candy to the Mars Corporation.
Oh, okay. All right.
Subcontracting?
Well, God, I want to thank you for swinging by.
This has really been a treat.
Anytime, Adam, again.
I think God has a book plug, doesn't he?
The wait is finally over. Football is back. And you don't want to miss anything this year. You can still get in on the action at Bet Online. Opening night is coming up Thursday, September 10th. Houston Texans at the Kansas City Chiefs. Well, KC's going to be favored, but by how much? Got some good Sunday games here. Seahawks versus Falcons and Dolphins versus the Patriots. That's going to be interesting because Dolphins sometimes have the Patriots' number. Cowboys versus Rams. Come on, Rams. Bet Online gives you more options to wager than any other place online. From game spreads to totals to prop bets to champion futures and more, head to Bet Online today. Take advantage of all the great season opening bonuses. Visit betonline.ag, our exclusive partner at Podcast One. Don't forget, use the promo code PODCAST1 to sign up, and you get that free sign up bonus when you go to betonline.ag. And use your promo code PODCAST1.
Now is Adam interviewing the Tweet of God, or God. I remember having to bring an echo device so he sounded more epic.
Sure.
It kind of got old after a while, but...
Yeah, but these bits, they either go the Jack in the Box route, which is almost the perfect episode, or the short and truncated, the Shaman episode route. If they're in character and you're going to riff with Adam... You really got to keep up. It's shocking that an advertising executive did better than a trained improv comedian. I think it was because he was trying out a new character at the time, the Shaman we're referencing. Mm. This Tweet of God, I feel like this is one of the better ones.
Yeah, I think so too. I thought it went really well. All right, let's get going with our final clip. We got some Rotten Tomatoes game, this time themed around Tom Hanks.
The 58th installment of the Rotten Tomatoes game. Adam Carolla Show, 1681, Jake the Snake Roberts, Matt Atchley, Gina Grant, Brian Bishop. This is from October of 2015. Check it out.
RottenTomatoes.com is where you go for all your movie information. All right, what do we got?
Big movie this week, collaboration between Steven Spielberg and Tom Hanks. So in honor of that, the movie's called Bridge of Spies. In honor of that, we're going to do Tom Hanks movies
today. Oh, interesting.
How is that movie?
It's not bad.
Not bad.
It's not bad. It's not great. It's pretty good.
Is it based on a true story?
It is.
It feels like it's probably.
Yeah.
All right.
It's about the lawyer who kind of got stuck defending one of the guys that got popped for espionage. Abel was his last name. And then he ends up negotiating the trade for him and Francis Gary Powers, who got shot down in the U-2 over Soviet airspace. It's pretty good.
Heavy.
Yeah.
Okay. What's it sitting at now on Rotten Tomatoes?
Last I checked, it was in the 80s.
Okay. That's good. All right. Here we go.
All right. First up, 1984 film, Tom Hanks, hot off of the success of Bosom Buddies, had done one comedy for Ron Howard, does another comedy about a guy who's going to have one last hurrah before he gets married. The movie is Bachelor Party.
Oh, yeah.
People remember this movie fondly. But it wasn't really a very good movie. It's just every time Tom Hanks is in something,
it's
good.
Took the
words
out of my mouth.
It's a very overrated comedy. And I would 91%, by the way, on Rotten Tomatoes, Bridge of Spies, as we speak. Of course, Adrian Zmed was on top of his game. He
He's in that, right?
Yes.
All right. So,
and Tony Katane.
Critics couldn't have loved this movie. People were sort of waxed poetic about it, but Jesus Christ, we're living in a world where Vacation outscored Raising Arizona. Does anyone else want to live in that world? So, with Vacation well into the 90s, this could easily be into the 70s because Vacation's not much better than this movie, even though neither one of them are very good. I'm going to say the critics were way less lenient on this one, and I'm going to say 51%.
I said 50 because I think that
you're the fuck you're talking about. You're fucking insane.
I should give a head exam. I think there's a lot of reviews you can probably find from 84 about this movie, and I think there's been a lot of reviews since that have looked on it very fondly, like you said.
All right.
So I'm going a little bit higher because it's Tom Hanks and he is America's father and he is beloved. And because I think it's a cult classic, whether people have seen it or not, they want to say, oh, I love that movie. I'm going 63%.
This is going to be a tight game. It's rotten at 52%.
Oh, wow. And again, 2.5 points for coming only 1 point away from the actual number.
All right, next up, 1987 film that finds Tom Hanks playing a character named Pep Strebeck, who gets partnered with Joe Friday, the nephew of the classic Joe Friday, played by Dan Aykroyd in this film. The movie is Dragnet.
The only thing that's good about this movie is when Aykroyd goes into that verbiage thing he does, when he just peels it off.
Yep.
It's always super funny, like when he would do Bass-O-Matic or something like that, where he just fucking just that shotgun of verbiage.
Staccato, yeah.
Yeah. Don't think everyone loved this movie. Colin Hanks was in here on Monday, by the way. Jeez. It's like, I almost feel like just going 51 again. Oh, God. This one's tough. Well, let's see. Do we like it better or worse than the last Tom Hanks movie? I'm going to say 44%.
Yeah, I said 35. This is not remembered very fondly. I never hear this come up in classic movie discussions.
Okay, here's the thing. What year was this movie?
87.
This is precisely why this is difficult, because a eight, nine-year-old Gina, favorite movie. I've seen it 1,000 times, so I have to really try and separate
myself.
Told
me this many times. Met a chick who told me Dirty Rotten Scoundrels was her favorite comedy of all time.
It's one of my favorite movies.
And I was like, you had to be 13 because your brain wasn't fully developed, and then you saw that movie and said, this is the best comedy of all time. That's what happened.
Top favorites. I'm going 48.
46%.
Ooh.
Oh, me and Gina. Jeez. All right,
back in it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. After that movie, we really started to see Tom Hanks really break out. One of the top romantic comedies that he did, one of three movies he did with Meg Ryan, 1993 film about two characters living on opposite sides of the country whose kids are trying to bring them together, Sleepless in Seattle. Or at least.
Yeah. Good movie.
Tom Hanks' kid.
I can't figure out if the critics thought it was great or good. How could you have a fault with this movie? Now we got that thing. Done that thing a million times where I went 81%. I was like 97%. And then I like, of course, everyone loved it. I'm going to say everyone loved it. And I'm going to say 92%.
Ooh. Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if it was in the 90s. I said 88.
Yeah, I'm not a rom-com person. I've never seen it, but I know it's loved. I'm going 86.
Sleepless in Seattle, fresh at 72.
Oh, interesting.
I'm very surprised by that.
Wow. So you think it's the kind of thing critics would like.
Yeah, this is a good movie.
This was kind of the follow-up for Meg Ryan after When Harry Met Sally. And a lot of the reviews are like, it's not as good.
Oh, you're right.
Isn't this one where at some point they're supposed to meet on top of something? I missed it.
Oh, now I'm combining it with Harry Met Sally. You're right. Fuck.
All right.
Hold on a second. This is good, too. What were you, Gina, on that one?
I said 86%.
And Brian?
88.
Okay.
Gina might be in the lead on this one.
It's very tight.
Would that I was.
Tight.
Very tight game. 1998 film, one of the first collaborations between Steven Spielberg and Tom Hanks' story set in World War II that starts off with one of the most devastating battle scenes, recreations of the invasion of Normandy. The movie is Saving Private Ryan.
Very upsetting opening to a movie.
Mm-hmm. Great movie. And I pox on any critic that gave it a thumbs down, so to speak, or a Rotten Tomato. This is one of those things, like, how can you watch this movie at the end when he's telling his wife, tell me I'm a good man, tell me I led a good life? How can you watch this movie and go, meh, wasn't feeling it.
Just okay.
This is a great, flawed movie. This movie has flaws, but the great parts are as great as any other movie.
Ooh, I'm curious to hear what the
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't have anything that bumped me in this
Nothing
movie.
At all. There were long stretches where they just kind of wandered and talked, and the talking was only kind of marginally interesting. And
yeah, it was foreplay for me. Like, it definitely breathed, and by today's cadence where everything has to happen all the time, but I liked not knowing what was happening
when it was happening.
Yes, those bursts of action and reveal and explosion, and even the stuff where Tom Hanks turns out and tells him what he did for a living. Those are all great, and those are fantastic parts, but there are parts that drag a little bit. And I'm not a has to be exploding every minute. I love Alien. Mm-hmm. I love the movies that are slow burn. There's just parts that are not perfect.
But any other flaws?
Matt?
I'm not going to tell you what the flaws are, because I don't want to give the score.
What do you think?
I like this movie a lot. I think I don't know that there's many flaws. I know what Spielberg does in this movie that will turn off. There's a group of critics that just don't like Spielberg's filmmaking.
Mm.
He's got this humanist sense where he likes to really make you feel what the characters are feeling, and that sometimes
that human connection turns people off.
Yeah, I know. The way he does it, the way he does that, can be really. Right. He's not a subtle filmmaker, and that turns off critics sometimes.
This is a great movie.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah.
Or
now, the
is
part
it?
When they're in the
I have declared it great. So
when they were in the town, like waiting for the Germans to come pulling up, I know it dragged out, but it just made me more
suspenseful.
Tense.
Yeah,
it made
absolutely.
Me more intense yes. for me. Yeah. Like, when are they rolling on us?
I agree.
All right. A pox on you if you gave this thing anything less than a 91.
94.
I also went 94. Huge cast, war movie, outstanding, epic. It's got to be 94.
This is a very tight game. This movie is certified fresh at 92% on the tomato meter.
Again, one off, 2.5 points. Deduct
You're
that.
Kicking
no,
ass.
Times two, that's five. Okay, so keep going.
All right. Final film is an adaptation of a Stephen King novel directed by Frank Darabont. Tom Hanks plays a prison guard. With a character who seems to have some kind of supernatural ability, played by Michael Clark Duncan. The movie is Green Mile.
I don't support urban movies, so I haven't seen this one.
Oh, you haven't?
I'm the only human being on the planet who hasn't seen this
movie.
Would
like this.
You're one of two. I've never seen it either.
It would be the kind of thing where I'd tune in the middle of it, and I'd see the light bulb shaking and him behind the thing going, come on, balls, man. And then I'd go somewhere else for a while.
Didn't this come out around the same time as the Sean Penn, Susan Sarandon prison movie?
I think this is a little bit
got those confused.
But this is Frank Darabont's big follow-up to Shawshank.
Right, okay.
All right. Everyone liked this movie, though, right?
Everybody loved Michael Clark
Duncan. There were nominations going out here. Shit. Now,
this was up for Best Picture, right?
This was up for Best Picture. Yeah, great cast here. You got David Morse and...
Sam Rockwell? Yeah. Sam Rockwell's fantastic in this.
All right. Now, see, this is going to go higher than Saving Private Ryan. I'm going to be pissed about it. On the other hand, I do think, you got to figure themes with critics in Hollywood, too. If this is a theme they like, that's a good thing. If it's a theme they don't like, you can shave a few points on it. I think this is a good theme for them.
Okay.
It's all knotted up. I'm going to say 94.
This came out. This was the follow-up to Shawshank Redemption, which was underrated. And this one should not have been up for Best Picture, in my opinion. But 81%.
Ooh. All I know is that Michael Clark Duncan became the guy from this movie. And
it was a breakout star.
Oh, my God. Huge deal. I haven't seen it, but I know it was important at the time. I'm going 90.
Certified Fresh, The Green Mile, 80%.
Oh,
shit.
But,
audience score 94. 10-point deduction. Fuck.
Yes.
Be a close game.
Always. What's your thoughts on this movie,
Brian's
Matt?
Got that.
What? What's your thoughts on this movie? It's fine, but
I think
it's
okay.
It's a little soft.
It's a little ham-fisted. It's a little over the top. Like,
guy who played Percy was great, though.
Yeah, I mean, good acting in this, but it's a little over the top in places.
I just thought it was one of those things that the critics liked. I didn't.
I think the critics did like it, but
I thought they'd get a few bonus points.
But you go into this thinking like, oh, it's gonna be another Shawshank, and you're like,
no, it's more supernatural. Yeah. I
had no idea there was a supernatural element to this movie. By the way,
I just fucked myself.
He's like a magic dude who like heals.
Oh, really?
God damn it! All right, go ahead there.
Only 7 points separate all three of you.
Wow.
Gina Grad with 39, Adam Carolla with 38, and Bald Brian with 32.
Ooh, that was a tight game.
That's a tight game.
If we could just go ahead and always shave off the last movie, that would help me a lot.
Brian, nice. Where'd you go, 88?
That movie, 81.
Oh, 81. Oh, you're one off.
It was 80.
Another effort. Geico, baby. Right now, Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's 15% on top of the money you could already be saving if you were with Geico. So, what are you waiting for? This is a no-brainer, peeps. There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. So, what do you do? Well, hop online. Go to geico.com and learn all about it. But let's get going. This ain't going to last forever. Visit geico.com.
And that was our Rotten Tomatoes game back in 2015. We appreciate you hanging out with us on this 3-day weekend. We'll return Saturday with some more classic clips. Till then, my name's Chris Loxamana. That's Super Fan Giovanni.
Mahalo and get it on.